about.
So easy. You gotta put it in
Hey guys, so for today's video, I wanted to talk to you about how I found out I had two vaginas. And it all started with a duck.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
So, I think we'd actually save a lot of time if we got on the same page in regards to the budget. So what I need from you guys is to
do you really talk like that?
Like what?
Like that.
Yeah, I mean, this is my normal speaking voice. I mean,
no, like, yeah, like right now, like how you're talking. Is that real?
So this one, this is real.
All right, yeah, doesn't matter. Go.
It's the same AI as I was talking back there.
Keep going.
At that door, okay.
And now.
Look who it is. You here to talk about your horniness?
The only thing I'm horny for is your friendship.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It is the 11th of May.
Quack. 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 Quack.
You okay?
See, here's the thing. I don't mind if Ducks fans talk smack.
Yeah.
Because they're doing well and their team is really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Bean, who's not a Ducks fan,
mm-hmm.
and Omar, who's not a Ducks fan, mm-hmm. and Ralph Garman, who's certainly not a Ducks mm-hmm. fan, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon just to torture us.
Yeah.
Go Ducks.
So that sucks. That's not cool.
You don't, wait,
that ain't
you don't,
cool, man.
You don't watch all the time, though?
That ain't cool. Is that, so he doesn't,
it's
are you
common.
A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
See, I can't even talk about him. So, Chip, what was it like last night?
The game was awesome. Playoff hockey is the best thing ever.
Best thing ever.
Best thing.
Yeah. Overtime win. On to Chicago, right?
On to Chicago.
Yeah. Good times. Tell the kids and tell Kevin what you realized about his love for hockey last night, Chip.
I know why Kevin loves hockey so much.
Why
guys
that?
Are running into glass all the time.
Yeah!
A lot of times they don't see it's there. So that
yep.
does happen.
It's a clean piece of glass.
Yep.
What you noticed
sure
last
clean.
Night.
Sure is clean.
That's right. Paul Blart strikes again, ladies and gentlemen. Well, congratulations, Ducks fans. Congratulations, Clippers fans. One win away from advancing as well. Very exciting time. Real quick, because we're running a little bit late, but here's an interesting story to get us started on this Monday morning. Here's a woman named Victoria Silliers. She is 39 years old. She's parachuting the other day. And her parachute doesn't function properly. And then she opens up the backup parachute, and that doesn't function properly either. Mm. That's the 1-2 punch. I mean, you've got a backup so that in the event that the first one doesn't work, the second one will, right? I mean,
I hope so, yeah.
There's nothing in life that you need more of a backup than skydiving. She is 39 years old, and yes, I said is, because she survived the fall. She suffered broken ribs, a broken collarbone, a broken leg, and spinal injuries when both her main and reserve chutes failed to open. She had the second attempt partially opened up the parachute at about 2,000 feet. So she hit the ground at 30 miles an hour.
Oh, that seems bad.
Seems way bad. It's amazing that she's still alive, by the way. 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
She hits the ground. The reason this story is in the news is because her husband has been arrested for screwing with her parachutes.
Really?
In an attempt to kill her.
He tried to sabotage her parachutes?
Yes, he certainly did. He is a British Army sergeant. He's the one who checked out the parachute for her from an Army storeroom at the airfield on his wife's behalf. He checked it out for her, and he's the one who screwed with it. Vital parts of the parachute known as slinks were found to be missing. The slinks, or soft links, connect the canopy to the parachute harness, but were found to be missing from the parachutes. Without them, the parachute cannot function properly. And then he also futzed with the reserve chute as well. So imagine it's like out of a movie to think about. He sees her take that parachute and go up in the plane, and he's down on the ground going, well, I'm about to watch my wife fall to her death. But at least I'll be rid of her.
Wow.
And then she lives.
And she lands. She goes, can you believe that?
And then oh, honey, I'm happy for you.
Oh,
and then
man.
they investigate the parachute and they go, wait a minute. This isn't the way it was packed. Somebody screwed with this. And then I guess the investigation reveals that he's the one who packed her parachute. So, boom, he's been arrested and is in jail.
That is a level of hatred I hope to never know.
Yes.
My God.
I don't think most people are even capable of that, do you?
I don't either.
That's crazy. Either.
But he's not going to get away with it. So they were they had three children, including one newborn, by the way. Ugh. And they've been married since 2011. So that's his attempt to kill his wife. So, I guess since it was going to be discovered if she died or lived, I guess lucky for him she lived because now it's not murder. It's attempted murder.
I don't know if they'd be able to tell, though, afterwards because it's going to be, you know, a disaster. So who knows?
The parachutes
would be intact. Yeah, mechanically, they'd still be able to do the same kind of investigation, I think. So in one way, I mean, he didn't get out of his marriage. I mean, I guess he did get out of his marriage because now he's in prison for a long
Probably,
time.
Probably, yeah.
But it's not exactly what he
marriages. Wins this No.
That's right. But I'm sure his secretary or whatever his backup plan is disappointed that it didn't work out that way. But there you go. So I would say pack your own parachute, kids. That's the takeaway.
It's a good tip. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Yes. Let's give our listeners a treat.
On Mondays, we check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.
Sure.
Find out what the celebrities are doing over the weekend. We have a story about parents who motivate their children with cocaine.
That sounds effective.
So that's a thing. We're giving away a trip to Las Vegas. As a matter of fact, we're doing that each day this week, courtesy of the movie Mad Max. We have Matt Money Smith talking sports, as we were just talking the Clippers. I think they won by 33. Was it 33 points?
Yeah, it was
insane.
A blowout.
Insane. And the Ducks moving on as well. We also have you thought you knew somebody, and then they were arrested for something really serious. And you, maybe you at one point said, that person is my Lord and Savior.
Well, that's just one example of what might have happened with one person that I vouched for. But I'm sure other people have their stories as well.
Wow. You're going to
save it.
You're going to want to hear this story. That's all I'm saying. And we're going to check in with Mama Muggs as well to find out what's going on in Dodgerland. And we've got tickets in the backstage area and in the pit for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
It is Monday morning. As Kevin mentioned, by the way, these Weenie Roast tickets that were given away this week are backstage passes and tickets in the pit. So you're lucky that you haven't won them up until now. Those people won them last week. Suckers, right? This is the way to go.
Idiots.
Tell you how to win those coming up later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Bean. How about those ducks, huh?
How about those ducks?
Ducks! Ducks! Painted orange! Ducks!
Like you've always said, Ralph.
Especially offensive from Ralph.
Painted orange. That's always been my motto. That's why my penis is orange.
Oh. Okay.
Didn't realize that.
I thought it was because you ate Cheetos while you masturbated.
Zing!
What's happening?
It's an old joke, Allie.
No.
Guy goes to the doctor. Says my penis is orange.
Yeah.
He says, well, I can't think of a reason why that would happen. Do you interact with anything at work, perhaps, that would cause this reaction? He goes, I don't have a job. He goes, what do you do all day? He goes, I sit at home masturbating, watching, eating Cheetos. I could have told that better.
Wow, that's a good one.
See, that's why his penis was orange. Ducks! Ducks! Hey, ducks! Hey, there's those ducks! Kevin, you're right.
Be not a fan, Ralph's not a fan.
Hey, I am a long-time Ducks fan.
Not,
I watch all the time.
You are
time
not
them.
A fan, sir.
I'm.
You are a Philadelphia Flyers fan. You have been since the day I met you.
Long-time Ducks fan.
Don't
I watch
lie.
All the time them.
Don't lie.
Is that so? He doesn't.
It's
are you
common.
A regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
It's a good question.
You know what? Sometimes we take you for granted. You really got to go back and listen to that and say, that happened.
Yeah, it did.
I heard from Kevin of the Kevin Amina Archive over the weekend, by the way, because we were asking the question about that particular moment with. That one aired on March 18th of 2005.
Wow.
Goes back a ways.
Okay. Sure does.
Over 10 years now we've been enjoying that clip.
You know what else goes back a ways? Listen to this segue. American Idol. Which is coming to a close.
They're canceling it?
Our long national nightmare is over. American Idol has been canceled.
Thank the Lord,
by
right?
By Fox. The 15th and final season will premiere January in 2016. And they're going to do it one last time. And they're going to just take an opportunity just to pat themselves on the back and do a lot of special moments with and look back on. And it's going to be, oh, what a adventure it's going to be as they just congratulate themselves and just touch themselves.
We
all over.
Had a great show,
aren't
didn't we?
Aren't we awesome? Huh? Look what we did look with at all us. These. Look, there's Sanjaya. Everybody, let's give it up for Sanjaya. There's going to be a lot of self-congratulatory moments as they look back over 14 seasons of American Idol.
I feel like it's been at least 7 seasons since they had a winner that went on to have a career.
Yeah. And about 10 seasons since anyone gave a rat's ass about the show.
Yeah, maybe so.
It debuted in 2002.
You guys used to love it. Absolutely. When did that go south? What changed so that you turned on it?
I think we found out that there wasn't an unlimited pool of talent in America, and the seasons just got boring because the people weren't very good.
Yeah,
that was for me anyway.
To root for.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And also the format and the style of the show, first of all, was reproduced and imitated across all networks all the time to where the talent competition reality show became just unbearable. You were just inundated with it everywhere.
Whatever the competition was.
Whatever the competition was. Whether it was America's Got Talent or X Factor or American Idol or The Voice. Or, I mean, you got so bludgeoned with the format that I stopped caring about any of it. But also, like Bean mentioned, you started to realize it really became less and less relevant because these people had less and less careers. It made a less of an impact. I mean, Kelly Clarkson, you can't deny that it made her a superstar.
Oh, agreed. You know? Yeah.
It happened in a few cases early on. And then
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood, then it sort of just dissipated to the point where who cares? Plus, Seacrest, right?
Yeah, well,
Seacrest.
Yeah.
How much Seacrest can you take?
But you know
get
what?
That removed.
We got Catherine McPhee out of it, though.
Yeah, we did.
So I'm glad it existed.
You know what else we got out of it? Pia Toscano.
Oh, true. That's right. We got Pia.
Who sings?
I bet Pia's loving the Ducks right now.
Sings before the Kings games. So she's not working a lot now.
I mean, not technically
she's
this week.
She's resting her voice now.
Right.
But, you know, maybe next year.
Pia's a good deal.
Chris Daughtry. Let's not forget about Chris Daughtry.
Sure.
Daughtry, yo!
That's right.
Has anyone said Daughtry, yo, ever?
Love me some Daughtry. I love Daughtry.
You don't.
I love Chris Daughtry.
And you don't love the Ducks.
I actually,
so shut up.
I've become friends with Chris recently.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story.
Why?
Because we have a mutual friend.
Him?
We have a mutual friend. We were hanging out not too long ago. Chris and I have a mutual friend.
All right.
The Toy Hunter.
That sounds like a villain on the blacklist.
Ralph has said bye-bye.
I need you to help me find the Toy Hunter.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
No, it's true. Jordan Hembro, the Toy Hunter.
Sure.
Is a mutual friend of me and Chris Daughtry.
Right.
We were all hanging out one night. It was a party.
All that's happening.
It happened. You don't know.
No, I believe it.
Lizzie, we need to find the Toy Hunter. Okay, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, because that's what we do on Mondays, because that's what people do on the weekends. They go to see the movies. Turns out a little film called Avengers Age of Ultron.
I believe it's Ultron.
Ultron came in number one over the weekend, yet again, dominating the box office. $77.2 million was its second week. Huge fall off from the opening weekend, by the way. This movie's a failure. No one is going to see this film. It has now made $312 million in 2 weeks here in North America alone.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And also new this weekend was Hot Pursuit. Reese Witherspoon, Sofia Vergara in Hot Pursuit.
Was that number two?
It was number two with $13 million.
Surprise.
I'm surprised, too, that people went to see that.
Nope.
I can't imagine they left happy, but they went. Age of Adeline was third with $5.6 million, then Furious 7, and Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2. He runs into glass. Oh, he doesn't even see it there. It looks like
it's clean.
It looks like it's a clear pathway for him from go one location to another.
Right.
And yet in between those two points of interest for him is a sheet of glass. That is good comedy right there.
How many weeks are we in? I'm surprised it's still in the top 10. I mean, it's
top five.
Top five.
$5.2 million made this weekend. There's a lot of Kevins out there, it turns out.
How dare you?
It's maybe the downfall of our country.
Hey, we're one step closer to Paul Blart 3 the longer it stays in the top 10.
Yep. Ex Machina came in at number 6 with $3.5 million. Home, Woman in Gold, Cinderella, and Unfriended were the rest of your top 10 movies at the box office. Pitch 2. Perfect Pitch 2. Pitch Perfect 2. Let's try that again. Take 2. Pitch Perfect 2 premiered at the Nokia Theater on Friday night. The cast was there, and the big news they talked about on the red carpet was Pitch Perfect 3. Boom! How about that?
Wait, this is the red carpet for the world premiere of 2?
Yes.
And they're already talking about 3?
Yep. Huh. This is going to be a franchise, this Pitch Perfect thing. So sit back, relax, and enjoy all that singing and those cups. And other good news. Remember that truly awful Three Stooges movie that was made with Sean Hayes as Larry and Will Sasso as Curly and Chris Diamantopoulos as Mo? Do you remember this at all?
I remember that it existed. Yeah.
Remember Kate Upton was in it? She played a nun getting out of the pool. That's the only moment I really remember from that film. Well, sequel!
Yes.
Yes.
So we've been all waiting. We've all been waiting for this.
It is, they're going to come back for another film.
Yeah. Why?
Why?
I can't imagine. I really can't imagine. And this sounds like a parody. It sounds like something out of The Onion, but I swear it's true. Just announced Natalie Portman will play Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg in an upcoming movie. The film will focus on the first Jewish female justice as she overcomes numerous obstacles while fighting for equal rights. And, say, filmmakers will mark the first time anyone besides Bean has ever wanted to have sex with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So,
I was thinking, how much are they going to have to ugly her up? Honestly, because she is beautiful, Natalie Portman.
She's distractingly
attractive.
Yes. Yeah. But it sounds like an SNL parody.
It does. You know, Natalie Portman. I first thought it. I was like, no, that's a joke.
Like a bikini and a gavel. It's just going to be very strange.
The more I read about her, the more I read that she is seriously into her Judaism.
Oh, very much so.
That seems to be like the primary focus of her life. Did you see that article last week, Ralph, about how she will not display her Oscar because she won't worship a false idol?
Yep.
Keeps it hidden.
Yeah. Up Netanyahu's butt.
Right. That was surprising.
That's where she puts it. Yeah,
I thought I would have heard of that.
Very uncomfortable for him, I can only assume.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Louis Farrakhan. Oh, we got to get a little Farrakhan audio sometime later today.
Yes,
we
do.
Where's the minister been?
I do not know. Probably atoning somewhere.
He might be.
Aton. He is 82 years old today. Actor Jeffrey Donovan of Burn Notice fame is 47. And Jonathan Jackson. He is for real. He is... He's the very talented actor, singer, plays Avery Barkley on Nashville. By the way, Nashville, right? Who's
right.
with me?
Me.
Yes.
So come on. With you.
Beverly?
Yeah.
At the last moment?
What?
I know.
I knew it.
What?
I knew
what?
It. Didn't you think
no,
she'd come back?
She tore up the check.
Oh, no.
What?
So good.
Right, Kevin?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she wasn't going to take the money that Raina was giving
Raina's
her to give the liver.
Money. Forget that.
Oh, so
do it
good.
On her own. But I think she leaked the news about his being sick, too.
Who really? Gives a damn?
Because then she gets all the attention. She saves the day.
She's the winner.
She released the information to the press. And then when she shows up and saves the day, everything gets turned on her.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Good and here's point, my Ralph. Guess, yes. Ralph, based on yes. zero information
yes.
except the trailer for
yes.
this week.
Yes.
I think she dies on the table.
What the what?
That's what I think happens.
But they were, don't care at all.
But they were giving... what's his name?
Deacon?
Deacon, the CPR. Not interested.
Yeah, it right. looked like they were giving him yeah. the CPR.
Chest compressions.
That's what,
yeah.
Well, I would edit it that way, too, if I were making a season finale trailer. Just a crazy guess, but we'll
that
see.
Bullshit.
We'll see on Wednesday night, right, Kevin?
So excited.
I don't know who any of those people are.
I hope she dies on the table.
What's
I
the point of this story?
She's a bitch.
She's a bitch. Right, Kevin?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Only the best show ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What's up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news.
What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now
in Florida.
The Sunshine State never disappoints. You can always wait 2 weeks and have more than enough stories to point out just how crazy they are down there. And I want to thank the Kevin Bean listeners who contact me from time to time and send me articles. There were two this week that I got a lot. One was about the guy who allegedly was trying to cash a check for $368 billion to build an underwater restaurant. I appreciate everybody thinking of me and saying that. That story is not true. That story was made up by one of those parody sites. It did not pan out, I'm sorry to say. So that one will not be making this edition of What's Up with Florida. This one is, in fact, true, though, and is verified. This is the woman who managed to get out of a hostage situation by ordering pizza from a Pizza Hut near her home in Avon Park, Florida, and including in the message section of her order, please help get 911 to me. She had one of her baby daddies was holding her hostage with a knife in her home with her and three children. And he took her phone away from her, wouldn't let her communicate with the outside world at all until she suggested that they order some pizza. And he said, all right, you can have your phone back to order some pizza. And how quick thinking is that to do that?
That does not represent Florida well, I don't think. She's actually smart. Yeah. Intelligent. Did a good job.
She must have moved there from somebody else, from someplace else. Yeah. The victim, Cheryl Treadaway, ordered the pizza online, typed in the urgent plea in the comment book. When the lady on the other end of the order at the Pizza Hut saw it, she knew something was wrong. She said, I was kind of scared. I was scared for the person. She called 911 immediately. She recognized the victim's name and address as a frequent customer, and the hostage negotiators were able to show up and get everybody out, and everybody is safe. So very quick thinking.
How about that?
And you know what it reminded me of was that commercial that they ran against domestic violence at the Super Bowl this year. Remember, they had a lady who called up the pizza place and then managed to kind of wordlessly let them know that she was in a bad situation. Remember, the person on the other end of the phone kind of figured it out.
I don't remember that. No.
Kind of a That's well, genius. I guess it was very effective then.
Yeah.
We go to Tampa now. This dumbass is a teenager in critical condition at Tampa General Hospital after being bit in the face by a snake. His name is Austin Hatfield. And I know what you're thinking. You're being kind of harsh on the kid. He just had a bad luck. Well, he apparently decided to make a cottonmouth snake, a water moccasin as it is also known, his pet. So he was keeping it in the pillowcase in his home, and he would kiss it. He says, his friend said he kisses it right on the head, right on the mouth. He's not afraid of death, said his best friend to the police. He would even count how many times he was able to smooch the snake. He kissed it 12 times, his friend said. The 13th was not the lucky one. We were sitting in the kitchen, and he ran out of the room saying, hospital, hospital, now, now. you deserve to get bit in the face if you insist on making a cottonmouth snake your pet and kissing it on the face, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of
big. You deserve it with one kiss.
Yeah, it's like these people who live with bears. I mean, what do you expect is going to happen? It's a wild animal, for God's sake. Here's a story that goes a step beyond the teachers that we bring you from time to time who sleep with their students. In this case, Krista Morton, 45 years old, was arrested Wednesday night on one charge of marijuana possession. She was in a car with an 18-year-old senior at Maverick High of Palm Springs, the school at which she is the principal for.
Whoa!
Now,
she was the principal?
She was the principal of the school. She's in the parking lot with her shirt off, smoking marijuana, when the police show up and bang on the door and go, pick on the window and go, hey, what's going on here? And she had marijuana in the car. Do you remember how you wouldn't even look your principal in the eye when you were in high school, right? Like, the principal was the scariest, most dangerous person in the world.
Well, he probably wasn't looking her in the eye either.
Well, he probably wasn't either. But I'm like, how does that even happen that a relationship would even begin with a principal?
I can't imagine. I really can't imagine. That's crazy.
It does seem like he would be way out of his league, but you know, more power to him. This article is great, by the way, because in the last 30 months, it turns out, Florida has had at least 5 people arrested for public pooping.
Yay!
I don't hear about this much outside of the great state of Florida.
Yeah, really.
The latest is Caitlin Fileggi. She is 18 years old. She was arrested on April the 25th after allegedly breaking into and damaging her ex-boyfriend's home. While being driven to jail, she removed her pants and intentionally pooped all over the police cruiser.
Oh.
The poop-stained patrol car was out of commission for 8 hours while inmates were forced to clean it up. Total damage estimated for about $100. And I love this piece that I found on Huffington Post because now I am going to, thanks to their help, recap for you the other public pooping stories in Florida all within the last 30 months. Amy Goldberg, 57, accused of smearing dog poop on the face and arms of a neighbor whose dog pooped on her lawn. That's how she handled that, was to pick up a poop and smear it on her neighbor. So, by the way, was that? I guess that was her poop. That if these were all human poop, I guess that was her poop that she smeared, not the dog's poop. Now that I think about it, That's kind of worse, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know which is worse.
Patricia Jamison, 49, arrested in April last year after deputies say she pooped in an elevator at the St. Lucie County Courthouse in Fort Pierce, Florida.
These are all women.
These are all women.
Whoa. And how about this? This is Brenda Schulman. She is 51. She defecated and urinated on the floor of her home after she discovered her husband in bed with another woman. She later, remember the story from back at the time, Kevin? January of 2013. She later told a deputy, I found him in bed with a naked chick. What was I supposed to do?
That's a good question.
USA!
And, and the fifth actually is a dude. His name is Gregory Bruni. He became a pooping legend of sorts when he allegedly climbed naked into the family's home in North Myers, North Fort Myers, and jumped onto the homeowner. So he climbed into a home, jumped on the homeowner. While he was inside the house, he ran around knocking over a TV, spilling the contents of a vacuum on the floor, which he later drank. He is also accused of pooping in two spots on the floor, but not before masturbating in the living room and rubbing on the clothes belonging to the residents.
Wow.
So that's your short history of the last 3 years of public pooping in Florida. They are some of the great, great citizens of the great state of Florida, and that's why we ask, what is up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Monday mornings, about this time, we catch up with our friend Harvey Levin in the TMZ.com newsroom. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, sir?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Very good, thank you.
It was fine. Kind of mellow, but excited. We got our weenie roast next weekend, so we'll be getting plenty of adventure, plenty of excitement next week. I'm saving up. That's how I do.
Yeah.
What are you talking about today, Harvey? What do you like?
Well, I'll give you a choice. You want to talk about Courtney Stodden's sex tape, or you want to talk about Lindsay Lohan?
Both.
Let's do Courtney first because that involves nudity. What's going on?
This is you're gonna love this. So she supposedly did this solo sex tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it gets into the hands of Vivid Entertainment. So she is absolutely quote appalled and says, "I don't know how it happened. I think it was a friend of mine who double crossed me. How dare this person do what just totally betrayed me? How could this be?" So all of a sudden now we find out. Now she's saying, you know what? There's nothing I can really do about it. Vivid has it, so I'm just signing off on it because...
Wait. She cannot sign off on it, right?
Correct.
In which case it can't be put out.
Correct.
Well, what's she talking about?
Because she's lying, and she wanted this tape out to begin with.
I'm outraged, but they can put it out.
Okay.
Remember, this is the woman who supposedly, you know, whose bikini top fell off when she was, in the ocean, Marina Del Rey, a couple
That's
weeks
right.
ago.
Hey, that could happen.
But no. Oh. Here's what happened. She got out of the water, and it was supposed to come off, but it didn't, so she shook it off and then stayed
dry. For folks who don't remember Courtney Stodden's name, by the way, she's the one who's famous for nothing except for the fact that she married a guy who was, 40 years older than her, right?
She was like, she supposedly was 16, and he was 50. I am, I'm not sure I'm buying that she was 16.
Yeah, but, yeah, I think it's a pretty good position to not trust anything she says.
I think so.
Yeah. Are they still married, Harvey?
They are still married.
Wow.
We haven't seen them in a long time.
How much money do you believe she could make off of a tape like this?
God, I don't know.
That's always a tough guess, but who cares?
But doesn't it just end up getting copied and put up on YouPorn anyway?
Well, I mean, there's a market. I mean, Vivid can still market these tapes. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Your story goes, she's
a question mark.
Your story goes on to say she's not going to keep any of the $1 million.
Oh, right. She's supposedly giving it to charity.
And you buy that or you don't buy that?
Well, look, she might be doing this for marketing. Obviously she's doing this for marketing because she wants her name out there. And her name hasn't been out there in the last 3 months. And you know the way that works.
Sure.
Yep. It would take a lot to get her on TMZ otherwise, other than a sex tape. That's for sure. All right.
Believe me, I was kicking and screaming on this one.
Let's move on to the B story. I feel like we've heard this one before. Lindsay Lohan is up against it. She has to get a tremendous amount of community service done in a tremendously small amount of time because she always waits until the last minute to fulfill the court's request. Is she going to make it this time?
No. But I can make this entertaining for you.
Please.
And this is all factual. So remember, they threw out her community service last time because they said that she was getting credit for, like, performing on stage.
Yeah,
so
and meet and greets, right? They were
and meet and greets.
Trying
and
to
performing.
Count.
And performing.
And performing, okay.
So the judge said, look, you got to do 125 hours by May 28th. So they had a progress hearing Thursday. And Lindsay did a grand total of 9.5 hours, which means she would have to work, do this 7 days a week for 5 hours a day from last Thursday until May 28th to get it done. So will that happen? No way.
No, no way.
But get this. For the 9.5 hours, her job was to upload photos onto the community service organization's website, and they gave her this device, and by they say by mistake, where she could take, she could go home and do it from home. Remember, she has an assistant, so bets are on. Did she
wow.
or did the assistant do that?
Harvey, is this still the same judge? Because this judge seemed to be really upset at Lindsay a long time ago.
Well, this is the same judge that heard it last time. I hesitate to say it. I acknowledge I have been wrong in the past. I have cried wolf in the past. But this time, this case is over May 28th because the judge, I know this judge has made it clear one way or the other, he wants this case out of the system. So
yeah.
Either Lindsay's going to come in and prove that she did it and then she's going to be off probation and the case is going to be over, or the judge is going to say, okay, you didn't do it. I'm going to give you X number of days in jail and the case is over once you finish jail time. So one way or the other, it's got to be over.
Yeah, she's not doing 7 days a week. That's just not ever going to happen.
No way. the only thing that's going for her right now is she's in London, so she could pull a Polanski and just stay there.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Which some call a win-win.
It's just so funny. You know, you think about having an entire semester in high school to write a paper, and you start it the day before.
Right.
You think about waiting till 11 p.m. on April 14th to start working on your taxes. But you would think something like staying out of jail would be worth planning ahead a little bit, not leaving until the last second, right?
Well, except she's gotten away with it a lot.
She really has.
She is charmed. Great stuff, as always, Harvey. You can see all these stories and so much more at TMZ.com. TMZ and TMZ live airing throughout the day on Fox Channel 11 and TMZ Hollywood Sports, Monday through Friday at 3 on The Reels Channel. Harvey, have a great week, sir. Thanks for the time.
You too, guys. See ya.
I don't know how it worked out, but this morning on the program, we not only have tickets for you in the pit and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2015 Saturday, we also have a free trip for you to Las Vegas. You and a friend, round-trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash. Ralph Garman gives you a chance to win that coming up in 1 hour from right now here on K-Rock.
Florida is just consistent.
What, again?
Again
with the Florida?
Yes. This wasn't even in What's Up with Florida a half hour ago. But these Joey and Chad Mudd are the names of the parents, and they were trying to motivate their kids who were 13 and 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would bargain with them. And the mom would say, hey.
Now, hold on. Before you say that.
All right.
You had teenage daughters 13 years old at one point in your life. What kinds of incentives do you need to get them to toe the line? Do their chores, do their homework, clean up, whatever you need to do.
Take your phone.
Boom! Take your phone, all right.
That's it.
Internet time, TV time, things like that?
Don't even need it.
Really, I mean, just phone. Just take the phone away. That's all you need.
In this particular case, though, the mom was using weed. So she would say, if you clean your room, we'll get high.
Okay.
That's weird, right? And then the dad would give him cocaine.
Well, I mean, those are pretty powerful motivators for some people, I guess.
Right, but they're 13 and 14.
It does seem like, and they're your kids, too, by the way.
Right.
Chad Mudd, 36 years old, has been charged with 2 counts of child abuse in order to have no contact with his children. Multiple times of cocaine and marijuana as incentives to get the kids to do their chores. So we wanted to find out more about this. And by the way, the kids have been taken away. They're in. They're staying with a relative right now. So I think we might have Joey and Chad both on the phone. Is that right? Are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here. How's it going, man?
It's going well. How are you?
Party!
So,
hey, Joey, what comes after part B?
Party!
Wow!
You guys are fairly amped up here. So, Chad, can you tell us what made you think it was a good idea to give your 13 and 14-year-old daughters drugs?
What makes it a bad idea, man?
Well, I mean, it's illegal for one thing.
You know, Illegal is it's a state of mind, man.
No, it's actually a violation of laws that are written down.
Well, that's open to interpretation.
Not really.
Well, that's debatable.
Not really, though.
Well, it is, though.
Okay.
I mean, who's to judge me but God, right?
No, the state of Florida could judge you.
Jesus as well. Jesus.
That's right. Jesus judges me, not you, man.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Is Jesus okay with the cocaine and the weed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It's all natural. It's made from nature, man.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, but what about the fact that your kids are too young to decide whether they should be using drugs or not? Shouldn't they at least be 18 before they get handed that stuff?
They didn't decide, man. We decided.
We're good parents.
Right, we're good parents. Parenting rocks.
I don't think you're being hailed as good parents.
We are. They clean so quick.
They are. When they're on coke, they do amazing jobs cleaning their room.
And then we calm them right down with a little bit of weed.
With
the
weed.
Right, give them the weed, and then it's TV time. Woo, TV! TV!
Love TV so much, Dad.
I know, love TV too, babe.
You know, it's kind of hard to find fault with their logic when they explain it like that. It does sound effective.
Thank you. Joey, what comes in before part A? Wait, hold on. What comes before part B?
Do it again.
Okay, Joey, what comes before part B? Parenting rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, there's the Ducks.
How about that?
Congratulations, Ducks.
Talk Ducks, talk Clippers, talk Dodgers, talk it all. Coming up with our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show right after
that's
the top
a hat
of the hour.
Trick of death right there. That's terrible.
That's everything Kevin hates in Los Angeles sports.
Well, Kevin is wrong.
Really?
By
you're
way.
On the wrong side of history, Kevin.
I am
you
right
certainly
now.
Certainly are. First, though, Ruff's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's going on, Mr. Grimmin?
I thought it was funny because not only is Kevin on the wrong side of history in every sport in Southern California, but he sent an email, I saw this being the other day, talking about how he was going to watch a women's soccer tournament soon.
Yeah,
he got
he
tickets
he,
for that.
He's so dialed in on that at least.
You're just in, just in sports hell.
It's the World Cup.
Of women.
Yeah, Women's World Cup.
Right.
U.S. v. the world.
What's the worst thing I could think of rather than seeing soccer?
No, that's fun.
Oh, wait a minute. They have a women's league?
That's a good league. They play high quality, dude. I'm not kidding.
Stop it. Just stop it.
I don't have
Hey, there's those Ducks. Hi, Ducks. Well done, Ducks. Good job. Hi, Ducks. Ducks are good, Kevin. It is. Monday morning means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Avengers Age of Ultron continues in the number one slot, $77.2 million. Makes it a grand total of $312 million in just 2 weeks for this little film. Hope they make some money.
That's not bad.
Hope it encourages other filmmakers to be brave enough to make projects based on comic book superheroes.
Finally.
Hot Pursuit.
Nope.
Witherspoon. Vergara. I think it still has like 7% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, by the way, this film.
Wow.
But it was good enough to make $13.3 million this weekend. Age of Adeline was third. Furious 7 was fourth. Paul Blart Mall Cop came in at number 5. Then Ex Machina, Home, Woman in Gold, Cinderella, and Unfriended. Your top 10 movies at the box office. Anybody see Jimmy Fallon on Friday night?
This was the U2 episode?
The entire U2 episode. Of course, they were supposed to be his resident band for a week months ago, but that was a little setback after Bono had a little accident on his bicycle. So they came back to do the show on Friday night, and they had some funny pre-recorded bits, like Bono getting back on the bicycle for the first time since his accident and getting hit by a van. It turns out it was the other guys from the band looking for a parking space, and they ran him over. They felt bad about that.
Mm.
And then I thought this was a clever idea. You take U2 and you sort of disguise them and you put them down in a subway station and you let them busk for people who are getting on the trains down there and see if they can make any money pretending to be a U2 sort of lame cover band. And I said, that's a great idea. As long as Jimmy Fallon stays out of the way, as long as he doesn't just inject his way into the segment.
I'm sorry.
Let's just film it with U2. Let that be the standalone segment with U2.
Let me stop you right there. You thought Jimmy Fallon not being a part of it was an option?
I thought so.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, well, maybe he'll be part of the band. You know, he'll be singing with them. And I said, that would be awful. And I said, but what I didn't think of, what if you didn't have him be part of the band, just walking around doing his crazy New York character? Talking about the band.
Was he their hype man?
He was their hype man, basically, as a crazy sort of New York guy.
Ugh.
Yeah, this is what the result was.
Guys, give money, support local artists. If you like what you hear, give them some money. The local artists here, New Yorkers, they play birthdays. They play bar mitzvahs, they'll play your party. You guys like what you hear, support your local artists. Some New Yorkers here, why don't you come over? Any change will help, you got a dollar.
I am glad the air is melting.
And he kept talking over. Hey, New Yorkers here, we got New Yorkers, they local artists here.
This wow. is why you fail.
That's right, Mini Yoda.
Wow.
That's awful, Ralph. That is. I mean, it was a good bit.
A
just
great
let,
idea.
Just let you two be undercover. Let
right.
that be the bit.
Right. You don't need, hey, local artist here, why don't you come over, give him some money? He's got like a bad beard on. Just get out of the way. Get out of the way.
You guys know who you're talking about, though, right?
So anyway, then you two stripped off all the makeup. And then everybody in the station was like, what? And then they broke into Desire, and it was just awesome. They did like an acoustic version of Desire. It was very cool. But he, what?
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
Well, he's the worst man in America.
Is that, too? Part of that is true. And Prince released a new single over the weekend. I don't know if you guys heard it or not.
Did not.
It is a protest song called Baltimore. As you can imagine.
What's it about?
It is about the high-pressure situation currently going on in Baltimore. The website says he recorded the tune at his Paisley Park studios there and plays all the instruments himself. He said he was inspired to do something creatively after he saw what was happening during the Freddie Gray protests. And he thought it was important, so he released this song. It's very interesting. Here, I have two clips for you. I think the song speaks for itself.
Nobody got in nobody's way, so I guess you could say it was a good day. At least a little better than the day in Baltimore. Does anybody hear us pray for Michael Brown or Freddie Gray? Peace is more than the absence of war.
Kind of an up-tempo little ditty for a protest song.
I don't think Prince has written a good song in 15 years.
Well, you know, you get a little deeper in the cut, you might change your mind. Give me that second.
If there ain't no justice, there ain't no peace. If there ain't no justice, there ain't no peace.
Yeah!
If there ain't no justice, then there ain't no peace. If there ain't no justice, then there ain't no peace.
It's like a protest song by the B-52s. Hey, what you protesting? Freddie Gray!
That's the song I'd like to hear.
Fred Schneider's protest song?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Nobody's buying that bullshit.
Wait, come on. If there ain't no justice, there ain't no peace.
Get on it, Fred.
I'm just thinking, Prince just doesn't have that protest mentality.
Never
Springsteen,
has.
You need Springsteen or yeah. Jimmy Fallon, or you need a real talent who can go, hey, New York is here. We're really upset about all the violence. Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays. My good friend Edwin writes in, Ralph, like you, I have been swept up with a Ducks playoff run. Sure, we all have been, Edwin. Sure, the Kings are good, but these Ducks have been awesome. I guess you could say, these Ducks can sure play some hockey.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
These Ducks can sure play some hockey. These Ducks can sure play some hockey. These Ducks can sure play some hockey.
I feel like that was half-hearted.
I thought it was appropriate.
Mm. Yeah.
Clippers.
It wasn't appropriate, Ralph.
I think it was.
Sorry, I couldn't find a drop that was more on the nose there.
Today's a slippery birthdays. Jonathan Jackson. He is for real. Plays Avery Barkley on Nashville. He's 33 years old today. Jeffrey Donovan from Burn Notice. He's 47. He's dreamy. He's a dreamy 47.
That he is.
And the minister from the, was it Sons of Islam? The Nation of
Nation
Islam?
Of Islam. Nation of Islam. Yeah.
Louis Farrakhan.
Y'all be good.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lewis.
Don't smoke, don't drink,
all right.
Don't fornicate,
I
don't
won't.
Commit adultery,
I
don't
won't.
You be gay.
What the?
And God will love you.
Oh, that's all I have to do? Don't you be gay.
Good advice, Minister. Thank you.
It's like Santa. He's like a black Santa in a bow tie. Now, don't you be gay, kids. He's 82 years old today. Really?
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Quick reminder, the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2015 is happening this Saturday at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Allie, what's the weather situation? It's not going to be 150 degrees this year?
No, it's looking like it might drizzle in the morning and be in the 60s.
Sweet.
What? It never rains on the Weenie Roast.
Sweet. Why does God all of a sudden hate the Weenie Roast?
Hate? What are you talking about? It's just in the morning when we're not doing the show. And then the afternoon, it's nice and cool.
Okay. All right. That's good. You can listen to K-Rock every day this week. We'll be giving away tickets in the pit and backstage passes, including this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petrus Money Radio Show joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Money, how was your weekend, man?
The hell did I just step in?
Yeah.
Join the old man. When Steely Dan comes on, there will not be any rain. It'll be rain in the morning, but by the time they hit the stage, it'll be clear.
Matt, let me ask you this. As a guy who is the co-host of a very successful and popular sports radio show, literally, how do you watch everything that's going on in sports when it gets to be this time of year?
I'm a horrible father and an even worse husband. That's
yeah.
I mean, that's the...
something has to give, and it's the wife and kids.
Well, you know, it's funny. And yesterday, I'm not embarrassed to say I should be, but I'm not. I'm flipping back and forth between what is an awesome Cavaliers-Bulls playoff game and the golf, the Players, which is kind of like the unofficial fifth major, and a commercial comes on.
I'm sorry, you said golf?
Yeah. Okay. It's a little white ball.
Okay, all right.
Sort of smallish guys, maybe gnomish guys. With a club, they smack it. It goes kind of far.
All right.
So I get stuck on the golf, and because it was a great tournament, a three-way tie, you know, sudden death playoff, that whole thing, green that floats in the middle of the water. And I went back, and the Cavs-Bulls game was over, and I saw that LeBron hit a game winner at the buzzer.
Oh, you missed it. Man.
I was watching somebody on the 16th hole of a golf course.
You're a terrible human being.
Yeah. So yes, it does get very hard to watch everything, and I actually even went to the Angels game on Saturday night. So to top it off, maybe that made me an okay father. Took my daughter there.
There you go. All right. Well, where do you want to start? There's so much to get into. You want to since you're talking basketball, you want to start with the Clippers, who, by the way, how long has it been since they've been even this far in the playoffs? Ever?
Well, never. If they make the conference finals, it will be the first time ever that they make the conference finals. So yes, they have never been this far. They have never been favorites, and I would imagine. If Memphis, I would be surprised if Vegas lines didn't adjust today to make them the favorite, not the favorite in the Western Conference, but overall, based on how dominating they've been these last two games over Houston and the fact that Golden State is given, Memphis is given Golden State trouble. So I would say they've never been in a position where they are the favorite to win an NBA championship, and that's probably where they sit at this very moment, up 3-1 in that series.
Boy, that's sweet. All right, we're going to ask you the question that Kevin and I have talked about for years on this show with other guests. I don't know if we've asked you before. Why can't either of these teams throw free throws?
Well, that's a good question, because we've seen big men in the past be able to shoot free throws.
Yep.
So the idea that their hands are too big or the hitch is just not quite right when you're 7 foot plus, we've seen 7-footers. Dirk Nowitzki, I mean, shoots remarkable from the free throw line. It's, you know, I think it's mental, you know, because with all of these guys, you hear the exact same thing, and that is they make them in practice, they've got good form, but the game comes around, and when you are intentionally being fouled and put on the line basically to be humiliated.
Right, that's my point. Aren't you embarrassed?
I think it's just, you know, snake eating its tail. It's the, you know, they're embarrassed. They can make them in practice, but now the only reason their team's going to lose a game is because they're being intentionally fouled, and they can't make their – and it's a nasty cycle that they
can't. And it makes for boring basketball, too.
Yeah. Well, for sure. I mean, when you know, you're doing TNT, and those guys do that show from Atlanta. So when the Clippers played the Spurs, I mean, they were wrapping up their show at 2:30 in the morning, let alone get out of there and go home, but wrapping their show at 2:30 in the morning, East Coast time, because – those games are 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
It's brutal. I mean, look, I get it. It's brutal, but I thought Charles Barkley made the best point, which is, look, just because these two lunkheads can't make free throws, and Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan, you can't change the rule.
I agree.
You know, you can't change the rule because two guys freaking lose their minds at the free throw line and other teams game plan for
I agree, and I don't want this to come off as Clipper hating because I felt the exact same way about Shaq when he was a Laker. That was embarrassing.
Yeah.
You should be able, if you're a weakness to your team, I don't know, practice.
Right. Well, and I think the one issue is when it's on, you know, if there is a debate to be had, it's when it's on a national stage and it's the NBA Finals. And DeAndre Jordan and LeBron, you know, LeBron James and Chris, let's say it's those two, LeBron James and Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are going at one another, and we got to send DeAndre Jordan to the free throw line 34 times. But even though it's only one guy, that's the kind of thing that will get a rule change. Because that is their showcase, that's their marquee event, and it's marred. And instead of talking about the best athletes in the world, you're talking about how hard it was to watch DeAndre Jordan shoot free throws.
All right, one more basketball question, and this is piped in from our producer, Dave, Clipper fan number one. He wants to know what you think about the Austin Rivers chant that was happening at Staples Center over the weekend. Has Austin Rivers redeemed himself in the fans' eyes and gotten out from under the shadow of being Doc's son?
Hashtag nepotism. There was a period of time when I contended, and I believed it to be true, that Austin Rivers was the worst player in the NBA.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was just really bad. A lottery pick. It's like you don't give up on lottery picks in this current day and age of NBA basketball because their salaries are locked in, they're affordable, and they're usually pretty good players. And
right.
New Orleans just gave him away, and then Boston just gave him away. That's how bad he was. And a lot of times, and I didn't think this was going to be the case when he scored those 17 points against the Spurs, but sometimes for these guys it just takes one game for them to get that confidence, to believe that they are as good as everybody thought they were when, you know, Austin Rivers came out of Duke and was a pretty darn good player. And certainly he's found something. Whatever it is, you can still see those flashes of kind of like Paul from the Wonder Years when he's underneath the hoop and he fires the ball up and it almost kills him over the backboard. But those moments are much fewer and much more far between than they were when he first got to the Clippers. So, yeah, I never thought I would hear Austin Rivers.
He's making some steps in the right direction. All right, let's change topics and let's move into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
What are you talking about? Who?
Yeah. What?
If Corey, the road to the final. If Corey Perry wasn't faking last night, what was wrong with him? Because as Kevin pointed out, he crawled off the ice, making it look like it was a season-ending injury. Yet 2 minutes later, he's back and he apparently is fine.
I would imagine it just the way things work in hockey, the injuries these men sustain and play through. I'm going to say, A, his appendix burst. B, he tore his quad clear in half. C, his Achilles ruptured. And they just, you know, they just rubbed a little dirt on it and he got back up.
All right. But talk about this, Money, because I literally have never seen an NHL player crawl off the ice and then come back. Like, if those guys, they're the toughest guys on the planet.
Yes.
If they crawl off the ice, that's because their leg may be disconnected.
And come back that quick. He didn't come back late in the third period. He came back a couple minutes later.
So
right?
might it have been panic? Might it have been, hey, my leg bent and it might be really bad panic?
Or it could just be cramps. You know, I mean, we've seen football players, you've seen it. They go to the ground and they're like, bah! They can't move and their leg is just pointed up straight to the sky because it's locked from cramps. I would believe, as opposed to panic or freaking out, that something didn't.
That it was that time of the month?
Yeah, well, no.
What?
It's a different time of the month.
What?
Like
my bad.
Yeah.
It is weird that he didn't say after the game what it was, though.
Well, that's just hockey demeanor. You never, ever, ever address an injury. You know, I'm convinced Bill Belichick was a hockey player because, you know, what's wrong with him? It was upper, lower, right, left side of the body. You know, I mean, that's what they give you in the injury report.
As much as I like or don't like players, I don't want to see anyone get injured. And I'm curious to see in the next round, like, how mobile he is and if he's actually a little more hurt than...
Because he wasn't skating well in the third period, right?
No, I think here's what you'll see. I'm going to say probably Duncan Keith or Patrick Sharp are going to skate as fast as they can.
Yeah.
The Blackhawks players, for those that don't follow hockey, they're going to lower their head and they're just going to launch themselves into that leg like a missile for about the entire first period to see whether or not he really is hurt. And that's why they don't tell you what's wrong, because that's what hockey players
Smart.
Will do. So we're going to find out real quick how hurt he is, because the Blackhawks players are certainly going to test it.
How are the Ducks and Blackhawks going to play? How's it going to go?
This is such worst case scenario for me personally. I mean,
that's true.
I have a zero win, you know, gain here. So
you hate both teams.
I do. Yeah, I do. Part of it's, you know, a Kings fan for the Ducks. I think anybody that roots for the Kings and the Ducks, you got to kick yourself in the balls if you got balls.
I don't think they exist.
You know, whatever. If you're like me and the Blackhawks tore your heart out when you were a kid, you just can't fight it in yourself to, forgive them. So anyway, the Blackhawks would have won the Stanley Cup the last 5 years in a row if they had a goalie. That is how good that team is offensively. You know, their front lines, as they roll through them, when you watch that talent, just the puck handling ability, the scoring ability, it's just waves. I mean, it never stops. The one thing that's gotten in their way is Corey Crawford or Antti Niemi or whoever it may have been that was in the goal. They've never had that number one goalie. But it seems like in that Minnesota series, Crawford found something. And we know he's good enough to win a cup because he's already won one. So I'd be very surprised. As great as Anaheim is playing this postseason, it's so hard for me to pick against the Blackhawks unless it was, you know, the Kings and that goalie and that. Even, look, and I know I'm making a lot of qualifiers here. As great as the Ducks have been all year defensively, the minimal amount of goals they've given up, that team's just different, man. The Blackhawks are so freaking good and fast and nasty to deal with. I cannot see anybody knocking them out.
And they want to get on that winning the cup every other year thing that the Kings have.
Exactly. And then, next year when the Kings aren't barricading their coach out of the freaking locker room with trash cans and lockers, maybe they can get back there.
All right, buddy. Always great to catch up with you, sir. What's going on PMS today? You guys on the air?
Dodgers, you know, back from another successful road trip, split in Milwaukee, got a couple out there in Colorado, try to figure out what's wrong with Kershaw and why he's just not dominating the way he was. Gave up another 5 runs yesterday out in Colorado. So, but hey, still in first place, so whatever.
Yeah. Hey, look, not only still in first place, what are they, 20-10 or something? I mean, that's a great season so far.
They're just crushing the ball.
Without their ace, it's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
All right, man, you're the best. Say hi to Pete. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
Check this out. Courtesy of our friends at Mad Max Fury Road, opening in theaters on May 15th, we have a free trip for two to Las Vegas, the one in Nevada, you guys. We're talking about round-trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash. I can't tell you how you can win it, but I can tell you that now is the time to try. 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to earn a trip to Las Vegas, Nevada, if you call the Kevin and Bean Show right now.
All right, we're going to do two things here. One is Bean is going to read to us the best tweet that has ever been
tweeted.
Well,
let's save that. I don't want to take away any of the time from Minister Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan's birthday is today, as Ralph brought up a few minutes ago. Now, he's a guy who used to be a major player in the civil rights movement and the religious movement in this country. Back in in the 90s, we used to hear from Minister Farrakhan
all the time.
Like, he was one of those guys like Al Sharpton that anytime, like, for instance, with what's been going on in Baltimore and what happened in Ferguson, he would have been all over a story like that.
Right.
But he must be retired. That's the only thing I can think is we don't hear from it anymore. But he was the head of the Nation of Islam, which is, I don't know, a couple of million people in this country believe in Islam, the Nation of Islam. And he used to give speeches all the time. And one of the speeches that he gave was in something called the Million Man March, was this event that was held in Washington, D.C. I don't think they ended up getting anywhere near a million people there. But he gave a speech, and this was probably the most spotlight that was ever on him in his whole career. Wouldn't you say, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was magic.
He was white hot at that time, and all the networks were covering it live. I mean, it was a really, really big deal. And, Ali, you have not heard this tape, right?
I have not. I'm excited.
Louis Farrakhan, the minister from the Nation of Islam, gave this speech in Washington, D.C., standing in front of the Washington Monument.
I want to take one last look at the word atonement. The first four letters of the word form the foundation. A-T-O-N. Aton. 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 The one God. So if you look at the Aton, add an E to it. And separate the A from the next four letters, and you get the word A tone.
All right, now, what's happening?
I feel like he could have just gone to the A tone instead of the
Aton.
Oh,
no, it's all part of it. It's all part of it. You have
right.
to start with Aton.
Okay, sure.
And then you add an E.
Tone means sound.
Sound.
And A, the first letter of the alphabet.
Right.
And the first letter of the numerical system is 1. So A equals 1. So A sound means when you hear the A tone, you will hear the right sound. So what is the A tone? In music, A equals 440 vibrations.
What?
Okay. All right, now I'm going to give you $100 if you can guess where he's going next.
I'm thinking like somebody said in his earpiece, stretch.
That's what it
Whoever's
sounds like, right?
coming up after you is not here yet.
No, no, he was the main speaker.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
No.
This was the climax of a long day. He was the featured entertainment.
How long have we been in America? 440 years. Well, in the 440th year, from the one God, the Aton, will come the Aton.
Listen to the guy at the background. Go ahead.
Like, he has no idea what he's saying.
None.
Preach it.
Because we've got to atone for all that we have done wrong. And when you
That's my guy. I want to be the guy.
And when you atone, if you take the T and couple it with the A and hyphenate it,
what?
You get at one.
No.
When you atone, you become at one.
Yeah.
At one with who? The Aton or the one God?
Okay.
Because you heard the A tone.
There's no way this makes sense to him.
One.
Right?
You get the next two letters. It is M-E. Me.
There's no way even he understands what he's trying to do there.
I feel like he was at the top of his abilities at preaching, though. I mean, I feel like he crafted this and thought, like, I'm nailing it.
This is a Saturday Night Live sketch, though. It has to be.
If you add another letter to M-E, you get an N. What does that say? Men. Now, if you add the T on, you get the suffix mint.
Mint.
All right.
Mint means action. So when you say, I'm atoning, you got to act on it. And then you're back to the A tone.
Oh, so you're atoning for men's actions.
Yes. I believe that's part of it. Yes.
I'm looking at the Washington Monument, 555 feet high. But if we put a one in front of that 555 feet, we get 1555, the year that our first fathers landed on the shores of Jamestown, Virginia, as slaves.
We don't have time for this, do we?
We don't have time for this, do we? Come on.
In the background,
yes,
is the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorial. Each one of these monuments is 19 feet high.
All right, 19.
Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson, the 3rd president. And 16 and 3 make 19 again.
Right.
But you're picking random presidents.
What is so deep about this number 19?
I can't imagine, Lewis.
Why are we standing on the Capitol steps today? That number 19, when you have a 9, you have a womb that is pregnant.
Ah.
Oh.
Okay. All right. I'm with you. Okay.
See?
And when you have a one standing by the 9,
yes,
it means that there's something secret that has to be unfolded.
What if the one is just a baby daddy?
Honest to God, the only thing that we did with that tape is to shorten the long, 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 long pauses in between words.
Wow.
Oh, so good.
That makes no sense. That makes no sense. That makes no sense.
First of all, Ralph Garman, how great does Mad Max Fury Road look?
It looks all great.
And where's your little friend Charlize Theron stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show to pimp it out,
by
the way?
She's like you.
Yeah.
But
would
she come just to see you, though?
I can see her without you. She doesn't come here to see me.
Okay. Mad Max Fury Road, the reason I bring it up is because they have provided for us a trip for two to Las Vegas, including round-trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash. What are we doing here, Mr. Garman?
Well, we're going to celebrate the city that is Sin City, and we're going to celebrate movies by combining the two and taking a look at Sin City Cinema.
So you wanna go to Sin City? You have to know the movies set in this crazy town, Las Vegas, baby. It's time to play. Come on down.
Come on down and guess the right movie. Come on down and win a trip for free. This is Sin City Cinema.
Whoa!
This is Sin City Cinema.
Whoa!
Everybody come and play right now.
Sweet. How about that?
It sounds like one of those knockoff songs where they just he changes the notes a little bit to make it not sound like the original, even though he's trying to sound like the original. I kept obviously going, la, la, la.
Well, you've heard Omar Oki.
Yeah, I know. I
mean, who can explain Omar?
It is the folks at Mad Max Fury Road who are providing this amazing trip to Las Vegas. You get airfare, hotel, $500 that you can probably turn into like millions. If you're a gambler like me,
that's
you
true.
Know what you're doing. 97% of the time, I win in Vegas. So to celebrate this trip to Vegas from the kind folks from Mad Max Fury Road, we are going to play for you a clip from a movie that is Vegas-centric, either set in Vegas or has to do with Las Vegas. All you need to do is identify the clip, name the movie, and boom, you are a winner. We have five of these to give away. So
oh, fantastic.
It's just that simple.
All right, let's start with Ryan.
I think we only have one winner today, though, Ralph.
I think we have five this week, but one today.
Just to make it clear. Okay.
Well, then we're going to do a drawing.
You'll
be entered into a drawing.
Okay. Ryan in Fullerton, hi.
Yes, hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing? I'm going to play you a clip from a movie that has to do with Vegas, and you just have to name it, okay?
Awesome.
Listen up carefully.
This is the end result of all the bright lights and the comp trips, of all the champagne and free hotel suites. And all the broads and all the booze. It's all been arranged just for us to get your money. That's the truth about Las Vegas. We're the only winners.
Name that movie.
That would be Casino.
Boom! It would be Casino. Nicely
congratulations, done. Ryan. You're in the drawing. Hold on.
Thank you.
By the way, I hear 10 seconds of that, and now I have to see that movie immediately.
That's a great film.
Let's go to Rudy at Orange. Hi, Rudy.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good, Rudy. Here is your clip of a Las Vegas movie.
Eddie, this place is great. They don't have any of these games at the Mirage. Pick a number. I'm great at that. Coin toss. Eddie, these are my games. War. You know, Russ and I play this all the time.
Dealer has rock. Pay paper.
Clark, what say we go back home and bury what's left of my money?
All right, name that movie.
That. National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation?
Yes! Well done, Rudy.
Oh,
wow.
Impressive.
Surprised himself.
You're in the drawing. Hold on.
Congratulations. Let's go to Brian in Maywood. Hi, Brian.
What's up, man?
Come on, man. We're going to play a clip for you. Pay attention. Listen closely.
Four of us wolves running around the desert together in Las Vegas looking for strippers and cocaine.
Name that movie.
The Hangover. Well done. We're 3 for 3.
Kevin, that's still your favorite movie of all time ever, right?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
It is. Thank you for asking. Let's go. I feel like you're mocking me.
Not at all.
All right.
Let's just clarify. I just want to see if anything had beaten it.
If only Paul Blart was in that movie, that would be the perfect movie.
Tony and Corona, hi.
What's up, guys?
Not much, Tony. Hold on. We're going to play you a Vegas-based movie. Here's your clip.
This is the vault at the Bellagio. It's located below the Strip. Beneath 200 feet of solid earth, it safeguards every dime that passes through each of the three casinos above it. And we're going to rob it.
All right, what's that movie?
The remake of Ocean's 11?
Yeah,
you are
well
correct.
Done.
Look at you.
Not the original with Frank Sinatra.
Wow, our listeners are good. We're playing Sin City Cinema, getting everybody in the drawing to win a free trip for two to Las Vegas. So far, we're 4 for 4. Who's next?
Renee from Whittier is up next. Renee, here is your clip from a Vegas-based film.
We were somewhere around Barstow, on the edge of the desert, when the drugs began to take hold. We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine. Not that we needed all that for the trip, but once you get locked into a serious drug collection, the tendency is to push it as far as you can.
That's right.
That's how you do Vegas right there.
Says the guy who's never had a drink.
Yeah. Name of the movie?
I have no idea.
Oh, sorry. Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Hunter S. Thompson story. Thank we have room call. For one more person
yeah,
on the list.
Let's do one
keep
more.
Going.
All right. Matthew Long Beach, hi.
I've known everyone so far, so it's only going to get harder, right?
No, I think you got a shot if you've known all of them so far, Matthew.
Okay.
Listen carefully. Here's your clip.
We're going to let you go, okay?
Okay.
What are you going to do now?
I thought I'd move out to Las Vegas.
I'm going to love you.
I'm Ben.
I'm Sarah. So what brings you to Las Vegas?
I came here to drink myself to death.
That's the Kevin Ryder story right there.
How dare you, sir?
Matthew, do you know the film?
Honeymoon in Vegas?
Oh!
Showgirls, right?
No.
What was it?
It was a film called Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, my God.
But I could see why you'd say Honeymoon in Vegas, because Nicolas Cage starred in both.
That's
so
right.
It's understandable.
Okay. Wasn't this the movie that Nicolas Cage, did he win an Academy
Award
for?
Yes, he won his Oscar for
Leaving Las Vegas. How about that? Yeah. All right. Great contestants, though. Thanks so much for playing Sin City Cinema. Ryan, Rudy, Brian, and Tony are all in the drawing. Only one can win the trip to Las Vegas. Who's our winner this time, Allie?
The winner is Brian with a B. Brian.
Brian.
From Maywood. Congratulations, buddy. You are going to Vegas thanks to the nice people who bring us Mad Max Fury Road in theaters on May 15th.
All right, I'm going to go celebrate like Griswold.
You know.
This is Sin City Cinema.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
I'm Chris Hansen from NBC News. So, Bean,
what are you doing here, Chris?
You and your Lord and Savior, Al Jessup, are just sitting here waiting for young children to buy ice cream?
All right, you're getting ahead of us here, Chris. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to give you an update on a previous Kevin and Bean guest that I considered
good friend of Bean's.
I considered a friend.
His Lord and Savior.
Did you say the words, Al Jessup is my Lord and Savior?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I did. Anyway, he was my personal hero, and we got some very disturbing news about this guest, the previous guest of the Kevin and Bean Show.
It was
last
news
week.
To us.
Right.
Kevin and me.
Because
and,
Ralph and I
and
the rest of us
Allie
hadn't been at his house.
Right. It was news to us.
Right.
I'm guessing it wasn't news to everybody on the show.
Safe.
That's all I'm saying.
Completely.
Safe. I think
I was
some people
blindsided
were not shocked at all.
Yeah.
I think they were saddened that the party was over, quite
frankly. I was blindsided.
That's
anyway, we'll
I'm
tell
thinking.
You what happened with that guest, and we'll find out from you what it's like when somebody you consider a friend in your life ends up being sent to jail for something awful. What's that like?
Bean will look over his shoulder for the rest of time.
Right.
I will.
And burn all his hard drives. I know that much.
First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Well, this is Kevin's least favorite kind of story, when a Hollywood type saves someone's life, but it's happened again. Sorry, Kevin. Sorry this actor didn't let someone die for your benefit.
I like it if they actually save a life. I just feel like the PR people get out and go, oh, yeah, he was within a mile, so he saved his life.
You
That's
son of
BS.
A bitch. Miles Teller.
Miles
oh,
Man.
The Miles Man.
The Miles Man. Mr. Fantastic, of course. The drummer from Smokescreen? Whiplash. That's it. Thank you. Could not think of the name of that film. He was relaxing on a Miami beach with his girlfriend when he saw a woman in distress, flailing about in the riptide. Turns out she was a young, pregnant woman. Miles and his...
The Miles Man.
The Miles Man and his smoking hot girlfriend, Keely Sperry, who's a model, by the way, both swam out, grabbed the unidentified mom-to-be, and helped her make it back to shore. They led her out of the water onto the sand, saving the woman's life, who was being dragged under by the undertow.
Did he also deliver her baby right there on the beach?
He did not.
That she was unaware she had?
But by all accounts, she was in desperate need, and the two noticed her flailing about in the surf and went out, swam out to rescue her and bring her back to shore.
That's pretty cool.
No, they saved your life, Kevin. It must make you furious. You must hate that.
Well, I'm furious if a celebrity is sitting on the beach and then takes credit for that. But if they actually go out in the water and do it, good for them. The Miles Man.
Usually you want them to just pack up their picnic
right.
and just walk
not
off the beach.
All.
Turn
let
a blind eye.
Not even a little bit.
Let the civilian die, I thought.
Scoop
liars.
Their own eyes out with spoons rather than watch what happens. That's what you like them to do.
Right. I've always said that.
You've always said that.
Now, let me ask you guys this. I'm very impressed by this. Do you think you'd be able to jump into the water and pull somebody out of a riptide and bring them safely to shore? Do you think you could do that? I don't think I'm strong enough to do that.
Yeah, because I think what happens is you get caught in a riptide and you think, I have to fight it and get in, and you can't do it. You just have to go sideways.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you take it sideways, actually, it's not that hard.
Yeah, you come out and you just go with the riptide and just work your way slowly back to shore. If you are, if you're not the one panicking, I think it's probably easier.
I fought it like a madman and ended up twice as far from the beach. I was like, this isn't working.
Yeah, you really
maybe I should go to the side a little bit.
No service by fighting it.
The Miles man right there.
But the healthiest man in the world. I think he would certainly be able to go out there. And,
in a second.
Yeah, and probably save a whale from being beached as well while he was out there. Maybe you could just use the tube from your eye and just tie it around her leg and then just swim back into shore.
All right. Now we're thinking. Now we're MacGyvering it.
Healthiest man
we're
in the world.
We're working what we got.
Okay.
Bean would be... like
Bean would start running and then just faint.
Like Mr. Burns out there in the surf. And he's like in an ankle strain. You're just going to have to die today. Bean's not the guy you want in charge of saving you.
No, you don't.
Looks like you're not going to be rocking and rolling today.
That's right, kids. American Idol. 15th season coming up in January of 2016. And Fox has announced the final season.
Well, Bean has a new death tuba.
New tuba of death.
It's like a kazooba.
Can we hear that again?
What was that?
I like it.
American Idol finally coming to a close. Jennifer Lopez, Harry Connick Jr., and Keith Urban will return as season 15 judges, along with legendary host Ryan Seacrest. And they will search for America's next superstar. That hasn't happened since 2002.
I was going to say, what's the batting average of that show?
Oh, they got more swings, more misses than hits.
And I feel like 2 through 10 is more successful than 1 a lot of seasons.
Yeah.
Second place, third place, fourth.
Oh, right. Yeah,
those
people,
the ones that
people like
have a
Daughtry and Jennifer Hudson and people like that didn't win it.
Let's see. I'll give you the list of the most famous alums
from
the show. And you see whether they have kept true to their promise of finding America's next superstar or not.
Okay.
Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
100%.
Love.
Justin Guarini.
Well, until the Diet Dr. Pepper commercials, we hadn't heard from him in about 10 years, so I would have to say no.
Now he's mini Yoda, whoever that little guy is that he plays on the floor there.
He's a no.
Carrie Underwood.
Absolutely.
Superstar.
Jennifer Hudson.
Absolutely.
Jay Hutz. She didn't win. These are people who came out of the show. Got notoriety from the show.
These weren't winners. It's just
these are just alumni from the show.
All right.
Yeah, I would say her career is absolutely a success. Yeah.
Jordan Sparks.
I mean, she's a mid-range star. I guess. I don't think so.
I think she's got a pretty good career.
I think she's got a career.
Catherine McPhee.
Hells yeah,
right?
Maybe not so much with the singing, though, but she certainly has become a successful actress.
Being on the show certainly helped her. Chris Daughtry!
Look, he's not on my radar, but I know that he still sells records and people still like him, and he still does concert tours, and he's doing fine.
My buddy Chris Daughtry!
Yeah.
I'm going to get Chris on the phone for the next segment. We're going to talk to Chris.
Excellent.
We're going to check in with Chris Daughtry and see what he's up to. Clay Aiken?
No. I think he's washed out, right?
He was very successful that first couple of years, but then, no.
Ruben Studdard?
No.
Fantasia Barrino?
No.
I think she's still pretty successful.
Oh, stop it.
On Broadway. I think she's actually got a career as a singer-actress. What's happening?
Philip Phillips.
What?
there was a guy named Philip Phillips.
He has a huge song.
That home song that gets played in tons of movies and tons of commercials, but that's it, I think, as far as he goes.
Adam Lambert?
I mean, he just did that big tour with Queen. He's got a new record ready to come out. I think he's doing all right.
Anyway, those apparently listed as the most successful people coming out of that show.
I mean, that's a fair amount of stars to come out of one television show. You got to give them credit for that.
But how many of them came out of the last 5 seasons of that show?
Yeah, true.
Maybe none, right?
Yeah.
So, it's well done.
Yeah, it's about time for that show to go bye-bye. And I think The Voice has really taken a lot of the heat off of Idol because it's so much better.
Exactly. I just hope Ryan Seacrest has saved some money because I don't think that guy...
That's true.
I think he's...
This could be it for him.
He's broke, right? Isn't he sort of...
Well, he does own the E! Network, I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He's got that, too.
He won't be bunking at the Y with Dunkelman.
He might be bunking at the Y with Dunkelman, but it won't be because of a money situation. Because Dunkelman's just giving it up. In the
Yuck.
Bunk. Takes it in the bunk. Right?
Dunkelman.
Who's with me?
Yeah.
Anybody?
No one.
Come on. Who wants it in the bunk? Eddie, Kevin, you want it in the bunk?
No.
All right.
What kind of question is that?
I don't know. I don't even know what it means. Today's celebrity birthdays. The minister, Louis Farrakhan, celebrates his 82nd birthday today. Kids love Louis
Kids
Farrakhan.
Love Louis Farrakhan.
Actor Jeffrey Donovan from Burn Notice. He's dreamy and hunky. He's 40.
He's the one who killed Nate all those kids in Wisconsin, right?
No. I think it's Jeffrey Dahmer.
That's Jeffrey Dahmer.
That's right.
Jeffrey Donovan is an actor from Burn Notice.
Very
like I said before I got to his birthday.
The TV
you
show
think
Burn
I
Notice.
Would have buried the cannibalistic murder part of that guy had it been him?
That was my error. I apologize.
And
misunderstanding.
Actor Jonathan Jackson. He is for real.
Yeah!
He plays Avery Barkley on Nashville. How much help does Juliet need? She ignored everyone there in that living room who's trying to help her out. She's obviously suffering from postpartum depression.
She won't even say her kid's name, Ralph.
Avery has to do everything for that kid. He's got to change her, and he's got to feed her, and Juliet is just dropping the ball. I don't care about this rooftop tour thing she's doing. Hey, Kevin, that music's a little loud, buddy.
What's that?
Music's a little loud.
Oh.
We're trying to talk Nashville over here. That music seemed to creep up and to be a little bit loud.
I don't
there.
Know how that happened.
I don't either.
My bad.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Backstage passes and tickets in the pit for the sold-out Kerouac Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015. Give you a chance to win those coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, the show is Saturday. All right. I guess we got to deal with this. I guess we can't avoid this anymore.
We, white man.
So Here's the short version of this story. In November of 2005, I came across a story about a guy named Al Jessup who just fascinated me because he was living in a tiny town called Beckley, West Virginia, and he lived in a trailer with his elderly mother. He must have been in his 60s at that time. And he had 13, not the little like DirecTV type dishes, but the giant satellite dishes. And he got over 5,000 television channels in his trailer.
The greatest life ever.
That to Bean, that sounds, that's that it's his nirvana. Yeah,
a trailer and 13 just freaking intercepting signals from aliens in the sky sized satellite dishes.
That's right. So he was watching like camel races out of Dubai, and he was watching beauty pageants in Mongolia. I mean, you can't believe the crazy channels that this guy got.
How do we know this? We called him and we talked to him for what seemed like a year.
It was the worst interview in the history of this radio program, and that is saying something.
That's true.
So I fell very much in love with Al Jessup. So I made it my business the following spring when I was visiting our old friend Frank Murphy. You guys remember Frank, our former producer. I was visiting him in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I thought, hey, I'm only 250 miles away from Beckley, West Virginia. I'm going to ride up to Al's place and get me some TV time.
I wouldn't cross the street to meet Al Jessup,
that's
by
what,
the way.
The same.
Let alone drive 250 miles.
Give me some TV time. What are you talking about? You do nothing but watch TV.
Well, I guess now we know what TV time means.
True.
So I went to Al's house and I took him out to dinner and I, you know, we just hung out for the day and just had a great time. In fact, it was a big deal having somebody from Hollywood visit Beckley, West Virginia.
Sure.
We got written up in the newspaper. Hollywood radio host shows up at Satellite Man's door.
Yeah.
This was in the paper shortly after I left. And I am quoted in the article as saying, I thought, well, Knoxville is only 250 miles away from Beckley. It was too good of an opportunity to not meet Al. He's my hero. He's my personal lord and savior. I mean, how many people in all the world receive 5,000 channels and he's got no wife to tell him he can't do it? He lives the perfect life.
Yep.
So I'm there in print and living in perpetuity on the internet as being a supporter of the great Al.
He's Jessup. Your lord and savior.
He is my lord and savior.
Those
are the words that I said. He's my hero. All right. Fast forward to last week. And I says to the guys, I says, hey, we got to catch up with Al Jessup. We haven't talked to him in years. If he's still alive, it would be fascinating to hear what Al's life has become.
By the way, that never would have passed muster on the show. We never would have let you do that.
That was horrific the first time.
It was brutal.
This is a guy who would put the phone down. Bean would go, how much does it cost for these satellites?
Well, I got the receipt here someplace. I'm going to go get it. I'll find the receipt.
No, it's fine.
Back to the phone.
I'll find it. Okay.
And that was like 5 minutes.
Right.
And then Bean would ask another question.
Well, I got the paperwork over here. I'm going to find it.
It was terrible.
It was a nightmare.
So I says to the guys, let's get Al Jessup on the phone. In fact, I still have Al's phone number, cell and home, in my phone. Hmm. I'll give it to producer Dave, the King of Mexico. Let's at least call Al and see what he's up to.
You guys text pictures back and forth?
No, we did not.
Does cell number have a different meaning now than it used to?
So Dave calls the numbers and comes back to me and says, bad news, Al's probably dead because both of his numbers are disconnected.
He wishes. Al wishes he was dead.
He will be soon.
And I thought, oh, man, that's so sad. What a terrible end for what a great American.
Yeah,
well, I start doing a little internet sleuthing, and I come across this article from August of 2014. A man who was well known for selling ice cream around Beckley, West Virginia. Yeah, he was the ice cream man in town, by
the way. His nickname was the ice cream man.
Mm-hmm. Was arrested on Wednesday in connection with sex crimes. Officers with the Beckley police arrested Alvin Lee Jessup, also known as the ice cream man, on two counts of possessing child pornography and two counts of prohibited child erotica. The first two charges are felonies, the others misdemeanors. Police searched Jessup's home in connection with a prostitution investigation. While they were there, they found VHS tapes, which they say had video of female minors who were engaged in sexually explicit conduct and child erotica. He was evicted from the same home on July 20th. So he's arraigned. He goes to jail. The following article has him getting into a jailhouse brawl and having his arm broken by another inmate.
Yeah, the inmates draw a line at child porn.
Yeah, they don't like short eyes.
Seriously.
They're called short eyes?
They're called short eyes. These are the guys who like little ones.
So now what's happened is Al was evicted, by the way, because he wouldn't take his satellite dishes down so that they could paint his house. No, that's
right.
Why he was evicted.
Well, he didn't want anyone coming into the house.
And then somebody went into the house and found child porn. All right, so recapping now. I'm on record on line for to live in perpetuity in a newspaper article with these words. He's my hero.
Yep.
He's my personal lord and savior.
Right.
And now we know why it was worth driving 250 miles.
Now the man is in prison for child porn. And by the way, another article that came up on Al Jessup is that he was also adding a special substance to the ice cream that he was selling around town for 31 years.
Yep. They said there were cockroaches, but that's not the worst part of the story.
Right.
Right then, you know, oh my.
There was witnesses seeing him perform an act and then going back into the ice cream.
Now, yeah. It's more cream than ice.
After the act.
Oh, God.
It goes without saying, you guys, that in a billion years.
You lie, sir.
In a billion years,
you're a liar.
I never, ever, ever.
Oh, I'm just going to take this 250-mile detour away from my friend's house because it sounds like a good idea for TV time. That's it. Yeah. Only, and because there's a desperate shortage of child porn in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Look, I didn't know anything about this. And maybe,
please.
Maybe in retrospect I could go, why is a 60-year-old man living in a trailer with no wife and no kids and living in a trailer watching TV all day? What's going on with that guy selling ice cream in the park? But I didn't expect anything like this. This was horrific for me to start uncovering this information.
What a shocker that must have been.
It is a shocker.
I had no idea Hitler wanted to kill all those people. He was a nice man. He was a neighbor. I lived near the bunker. We've heard this kind of talk before.
I took Al Jessup to lunch.
Yes, you did.
And I shook his hand.
Yep.
And now he's in prison for child porn, you guys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No bueno.
Well, he's your hero.
He's not my hero at all.
He's your Lord and Savior, I believe.
So we thought.
I'm Chris Hansen, and I have to say, B, do you remember when you were watching some of those channels that were available at Al Jessup's house in the trailer?
Were channels that were available at Al Jessup's house, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Have some sweet tea. It's free. You're free to go.
We're going to take calls if somebody got arrested for something and you were shocked. Like being shocked
about
this.
You considered this person a friend or a family member. And the next thing you know.
Or a Lord and Savior.
Or a Lord and Savior. And the next thing you know, you're arrested. And all of a sudden, it's somehow your fault. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are next on K-Rock. I'm happy to see these calls that I'm not the only one who went through the traumatic experience of finding out that somebody you had vouched for is a bad, bad person.
The idea that you would vouch for him is insane to me.
Why?
Because you didn't know anything about him.
I hung out with him for a day, though.
Well,
I thought I had a pretty good read on him. Talking about Al Jessup, former Kevin and Bean guest back in 2006. Here's what it says from the paper, by the way. The two, talking about me visiting him, the two had lunch with Jessup's mother, Patty, at Ryan's Steakhouse and enjoyed an afternoon at the Jessup household watching television.
In quotes.
You know, it seems so innocent now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What happened to your friend or family member and you were shocked by it? Why don't we start with, wow, we got, these are terrible calls.
These are all bad. These
are
all
awful.
I thought your story would be the worst.
I'm just now looking at this. This is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Let's start with Tyler in Los Angeles, please, on line 3.
All right. Hey, Tyler.
Hello.
Who was this and what were they arrested for?
So this is a friend of mine from college. I've been in L.A. for about 18 years, and I got a call from my cousin a few years ago, and he said, hey, do you know a guy named, I'm going to use a different name, Bob Smith? And I said, yeah, I know Bob Smith. Why? And he said, well, he was just arrested for murdering and dismembering his father.
Holy crap! Dude.
Yeah. Apparently, he had some mental issues after I knew him. And after you knew him. Yeah, after I knew him. This is a guy I used to hang out with and party with.
All right, Tyler, let me ask you a question. After knowing that, do you look back in retrospect and go, wow, I missed this and that, or no?
No, not really. He just snapped. So, and I've been away from the area for a while, but he just went nuts. So wow. He got in a fight with his dad and ended up getting in an argument and knocking him unconscious, and then
cut him up.
Cut him up and put him in bags and put him in
ice cream
a car.
Oh, dude,
no ice cream. This was in Virginia. So
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much, Tyler. Let's go to Greg in Anaheim, please. He's on line 5. Hey, Greg, thanks a lot for calling. Go Ducks! What's going on, man?
Hey, about 3 years after I left my junior high school, my sister also used to work at my junior high as well as a librarian.
Right.
And we were watching To Catch a Predator, and we saw one of the teacher's aides who's helped out the special ed kids on there. He was going in for, some boy he was trying to – well, you know the show.
Yeah.
He was
what to you? What was the relationship?
He was one of the TAs for the special ed group. He was around campus a lot. He was like their shadow.
Did you ever call him your Lord and Savior?
No, I didn't get that close to him.
Can you imagine you're sitting there watching TV and somebody that you know walks into the house on To Catch a Predator with Chris Hansen? Can you imagine what that – you must have just been flipped out.
Yeah, my sister was like, oh, my gosh, is that him? And like we like waited till the end of the show because we didn't have TiVo. And we waited till the list of all the people. We're like,
wow. Incredible. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to, can this person's name be Favorite on line 2?
I mean, I guess it could.
Yeah, that's my name. Favorite.
Favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So it sounds like you and I have something in common. I have Al Jessup. Who do you have in your life?
Yeah, I had a coworker, and I mean, it's the type of coworker that, like, you know, makes work better and fun and, you know, a great reason to go to work. I'm sure all you guys have that experience with each other.
Sure.
But so the type of person, you work all day and then you go get drinks and shoot pool and all that stuff, and then one day he doesn't show up for work. It was like, wonder what happened. And then like we get a report like he was arrested and his entire garage was just filled with kiddie porn the videotape type stuff. So he was actually like involved with it too. And I was just like, oh my God.
Like and you think you know that person, and you have no idea that they're living this entirely separate, sick, secret life. It's just, it kind of shakes you to your core a little bit, right?
Yeah, it hurt. It was like, man, I thought this was a friend. And it's like, now I have to second guess all my friends. Now, I guess.
At any point, did you turn on the TV and hear,
I'll just be your secret lover?
I don't know that's what happened there. Thank you for the call, Favorite. Appreciate it so much. All right, let's go to Ben. He's in Chatsworth. He's up next on line 1.
Hey, Ben.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Great. Thanks so much for calling. What do you have to add, sir?
So when I was in college, freshman year, I met these two guys. They were fantastic. One of them is still the smartest man I know. We hung out a lot and then kind of lost touch with them for a while. And then the next time I saw them, it was when they were being arrested for murder in the first.
Oh, wow.
For first-degree murder?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, he murdered the other guy?
No. They had another friend. Thank God, who they decided to kill his parents and for the inheritance money, and then they were all going to live on the beach because vodka and meth will do that to you.
Wow. But, Dan, why weren't you good enough friends that you were included in that circle, dude? They left you out of this on purpose. They had a foolproof plan to retire rich, and they didn't share it with their friend Ben?
It wasn't quite foolproof, as it turns out.
There's that.
Yeah, this was in North Carolina, and it was out on the beach. And it's astonishing when you try to kill someone with a baseball bat how far you can see a fire away when you've burned the bat on flat ground. It's really, really surprising.
I feel like there's a lot more details to this story that we need, but we don't have time.
Yeah. Crazy, Ben. Well, looks like you're going to have to make your money your own way, dude.
Do you remember the movie A Family Torn Apart, Neil Patrick Harris, Johnny Galecki?
Not even a little bit. Friends.
That was my friend.
Oh, you mean they made a movie about the case?
Yes.
Crazy times. Hey, maybe I can play myself in the Al Jessup movie.
There's an option. There's a career path.
Yes.
And boom.
Bean, you can be on TV and you can hear.
You know, if you had me naked, I'd want more.
About 20 minutes away or so from winning your sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta tickets in the pit and backstage passes. Stick around. That is coming up. Also, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat. Muggs, I'm glad you're here.
Hey, Beaner.
Now that the Dodgers are clearly in first place, I mean, 20-10, right?
Got their 20th win yesterday, yeah.
Unbelievable. Looking great. I mean, you could argue what's up with Clayton Kershaw. Obviously, that's a concern. But the rest of the team is really firing on all cylinders. Team looks great. Just has won three in a row. Your mom must be calming down at this point.
What do you think? Let's talk to her.
Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs. She's one badass Jew. Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs, Mama, Mama, Mama Mugs. She hates the Dodger blue. It's time for Mama Mugs. Give me some Mama Mugs.
L'chaim!
Mama Mugs.
We were first introduced to Mama Mugs as the world's biggest Dodger fan.
Yep. That's what happened. Hey, Mom.
Hi! Good morning.
Hey! What did your son do for you for Mother's Day yesterday? Since we have you on today,
well, he was a very appreciative son.
Uh-huh.
I spent the whole day on Mother's Day in the emergency room at a hospital.
What?
What did he do to you?
Well, I spent the night on top of the toilet throwing up.
Ooh.
And,
why did he cook you a meal or something?
It's something Bear Mug must have made or
something. Yeah, that's what
I don't know. Because he is a good cook, but I think something missed.
Yeah, she got a stomach virus, so my morning consisted of making her crackers and jelly and green tea. That was it. That's all we did, because she was deathly ill.
Wow. Are you feeling better, Mama?
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. It's not 100%, but okay. I'm better than I was.
So all right,
I hit the record into the toilet.
I don't think we really need... I mean, I think we all understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, so the Dodgers were, let's talk about this weekend. They were in Colorado. They ran into some sketchy weather, but they still were able to come away with two wins, right?
It's unbelievable because I don't recognize this team anymore. It's not my Dodgers.
Okay.
It's someone else's Dodgers.
Okay, but they're doing well.
They're doing well.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Mama Muggs, because this sort of bugs me. In this day and age, it's sort of a common thing that players move from team to team, and you can't really stick with players as much as you can a team.
No, that's true. But I'm seeing now, it's not so much the players they traded. It's all the minor leaguers they're bringing up. The minor leaguers are better than the ones they had left on the roster.
So that's great news, then. If you've got a deep bench, and the Dodgers historically are famous for their great minor league system, you should be delighted with that.
I am, but it's not my team. Then they have no pitching. They're down to one good pitcher. Kershaw's out. He's gone. He's not the
same. Gone.
He's done. He's
yeah, it's
finished.
A month into the season, okay?
When you say he's gone, you think he'll never pitch like he did last year?
No.
What?
He started in the playoffs last year. He's done. He's gone. They're training him to the Padres.
It's like 30 games into the season.
Yeah. I mean, he's had a rough start. There's no question about that. But he's a professional baseball player. He can work on things.
He's almost at a 5-point ERA.
Right.
No, he's had some rough outings. Yeah, he's had some rough outings. There's no question about that.
Right.
But there are still 5,000 games in this season.
5,000.
Yes, he can turn it around.
All right. I just can't laugh. That's funny, yeah. But, you know, they have done some other things at the stadium that I just don't know. I don't know the stadium anymore.
Like, what do you mean you don't know the stadium? I know they traded some of your players, but what did they do to the stadium?
Well, for instance, the organist, who is famous throughout Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy B. Heffley.
Yep, she's a legend.
Did they trade Nancy?
So weird. She's with the Brewers now.
She's rocking the Yankees now?
She's gone to the Yankees.
Wait, what happened to the organist?
The organist is there, but she's only restricted to play one inning a whole game. So she sits there with her hands folded.
You're upset that the organist for the Dodgers isn't allowed to play the organ enough?
No.
What's wrong with you?
But, Mama Muggs, you know what's been going on in baseball over the years is they've been – I mean, I don't know that any other park even has an organist, period, anymore. They've all replaced them with pop and rock songs. That's what makes the crowd excited. That's what people want now when they go to a baseball game.
Oh, but Nancy B kind of lightened the mood, and she was so homespun. And, you know, after she played at Dodger Stadium, she did play in her church at the organ. So it was very appropriate.
She's an institution, is what you're saying, Mom.
She is. She is an institution. She's a great lady who's contributed a lot to the club. But, I mean, that is kind of – it's so old-fashioned. I mean, that's how they did it, like, in the 60s, though, Mama Muggs.
I'm a 60s girl.
Okay. All right.
But the team is in first place.
Yeah, but, you know, between...
How is your answer to the team is in first place?
Tomorrow they don't know who their pitcher will be. Wednesday they don't know who their pitcher will be.
There's like 7 years left in this season. They have time.
They have lots of pitchers, too.
They can work it out.
Look, even if the wins are not going to the starters, your bullpen is good enough that you're still getting the W. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter if you have a 20-game winner. All that matters is you win enough games to make it to the playoffs.
Well, we'll start the Tuesday's game with a bullpen member, and he'll pitch one inning, and we'll go through nine.
Mom, how are the Dodgers going to fare up against the Marlins when they're
in town? Well, Marlins are tough. You know, D. Gordon, who was on our team, is the lead hitter in the National League, 26.
Look, everybody has been through part of what Marlon Muggs is talking about, which is you can't help but look around and see all of the players who are doing great that used to be on your team. And I know that hurts, and that happens in all the sports.
Not to mention Nancy, the organist.
Let's not forget about that. So last time we had John, and we're almost out of time here, Mama Muggs, you were telling us that despite what we may think, you are actually an optimist. Is that still true?
I'm an optimist, but I'm a realist. Is that possible, the two things?
Both of those are possible, but you're a pessimist. So that sort of doesn't jive with the other two words.
And here's another thing that doesn't jog.
Right.
I watch them all the time. Can you believe that? I like to know who's coming up and down from the minors and stuff like that.
So
I watch them even though I criticize them heavily.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, but you don't
you hate watch them.
You hate watch them, and the minute they're down, you change the channel.
Yesterday I did that.
Of course you did.
Out of the room, I turned it off.
Didn't they come back and win the game yesterday?
Yes!
Yeah. I don't even follow baseball, and I know that.
And she didn't see it.
It was 5-5. Did you walk away when it was 5-5?
No, I walked away when it was 2-2.
You're a bad person.
Not only that, your son has tried to poison you. What about that?
How dare you?
All right, Mama, keep up the good look.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
We love you. Mama Muggs. She hates the Dodger Blue.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Hey, it's those ducks!
Nice.
Quack. Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then coming up just after 9, your chance to win your ticket. Hey, are we supposed to be, we're not selling or anything, right? What are we
selling.
Doing?
You dealing drugs?
Give away the tickets, because we just gave away the other thing.
Yeah, I think we are. Are you giving away anything here?
No.
All right, then we need to tell.
But we just gave away a thing. Aren't they still working on the thing?
They're on the phone now with the guys in the thing.
All right, we'll do it at the end.
We'll do it at the end. Let's all remember to do it at the end, because we want to give away some tickets in the pit and backstage passes for anywhere, but not now. Give us like 6 minutes. All right, Ralph, what's going on with you?
Son of bitches. Hey, now we were talking, speaking of giveaways and stuff, we gave away that trip to Las Vegas, Nevada, thanks to the folks at Mad Max Fury Road, the new film, and just reading the reviews in the other room. Variety had their review posted today and some other papers as well, saying it is one of the all-time great action films. Just raving about this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
You know, I think the key is, is that the director of the original series, George Miller, is back. He is reprising his own product. He is reinventing his own creation. I think
so
that
who
makes
could do
a,
it better than him?
Right. I think it makes a big difference between that and someone just trying to sort of copy and emulate what that guy did. This guy's the original, you know?
Unless you're a J.J. Abrams or somebody like that who can really...
Right. But those guys are few and far between.
Absolutely. Okay? Most people are just hacks trying to trade in on the name.
Right. So I'm very excited to see that film. Looks really good. Another quick recap. We were talking about how Bean was seriously involved with a pedophile.
Yeah.
I met him one time.
Called him his Lord and Savior.
Your hero and Lord and Savior sounds a little bit more than just met him one time.
Sure does.
He was a pedophile ice cream man and Bean's close personal confidant and Lord and Savior and hero. And a listener, Edwin, writes in. He goes, that Al Jessup story was definitely disturbing. But didn't Bean also jump to the defense of the guy that was working out nude in front of a window and was seen by a bus full of school kids?
And couldn't imagine nor I thinking that was so creepy and weird.
Blame the children for seeing the nude man jumping up and down the window for being
creepy
on the school
alert,
bus.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
What's happening?
There's a disturbing trend here.
Look. First of all,
are you going to get arrested? If so, please give us a heads up.
First of all, I didn't know any of this about Al Jessup all those years ago when I met him and watched TV with him. I had no idea that there was child porn. Right. Second of all, this guy that you're talking about, the guy doing exercises in his living room naked,
in front of a window with no drapery.
That went outside to passing by school children.
A bus route to school.
That's on the people who are peeping Tom's.
Wow.
The people who are looking in his windows. It's
or
not his responsibility to cover
to
up
right.
in his own house.
Glancing. To the right.
Or noticing the guy jumping up and down holding barbells in front of his picture window nude with his testicles bouncing.
When you say it like that, you make it sound dirty.
If you've gone crazy or something, I mean, if you've gone crazy, I'm just saying.
That's something
I need to know about, okay? I mean, that affects me.
Right.
I believe in a man's right to exercise nude in his own house without the prying eyes of the world looking in on him.
You believe in a man's right to show his nude body to children. That's what you believe
That's
in.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
That's exactly what you believe in.
This is troubling.
If there's anybody on this show that you thought would have a secret second life, it would be Bean, right? Right?
Yes. Bean would have five secrets before the rest of us.
A whole slew of other identities. You'd be like Raymond Reddington.
Yeah.
I like you so much better when you're naked.
Right. We all feel that way. Let's get to this week's box office from the weekend. Avengers Age of Ultron did very well over the movie-going weekend. $77.2 million. Hot Pursuit. The new Witherspoon Vergara joint made $13.3 million in its debut. Age of Adeline, Furious 7, and Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 were the top five movies at the box office, then followed by Ex Machina, Home, Woman in Gold, Cinderella, and Unfriended. Movie news. They're making another Three Stooges movie. The 2012 movie. Yeah, apparently did well enough for a second go around. I never got it. I didn't like the first one. I didn't understand how you could try to take a movie about three such strong personalities and then just have guys doing impressions of them and make another movie. It was completely lost on me, the whole endeavor.
Obama and Biden. Yeah. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
Right. Those two guys are the real Three Stooges. Hey, American Idol's going away. See? If you live long enough, you get to see some good things. American Idol's being canceled, so that's good.
But in that same announcement, by the way, from Fox, we now have a date for the return of the X-Files next January as well.
Yeah, how about that?
So, very excited.
Is that the X-Files theme?
Beginning of the X-Files theme. More TV news. Katherine Heigl's TV show State of Affairs has been canceled by NBC. How did it stay on the air so long, I ask? She was the president's counsel for defense secret agent things, but she was also sleeping with the president's son, and it was just, Katherine Heigl, I'm going to make the tough decisions. Stop it.
That one had disaster written all over it from the beginning.
Constantine got booted. That made me sad on NBC. I like that show. Marry Me with our friend Ken Marino. Also canceled. That was sad.
I like that.
And Fox, we were just talking about Fox canceled Kevin Bacon's The Following after three seasons.
Kevin, you liked that, right?
I did a lot.
It was a good show. Backstrom, the new Rainn Wilson show.
I wouldn't vouch for him or call him my Lord and Savior, though, Pete. If that's what you're saying.
Backstrom also got the boot, the new Rainn Wilson show.
Very sad for Rain.
A lot of turnaround this year on television. Network television reminds me, it's very reminiscent of the music industry, the record companies, sort of floundering, trying to find their way in a new world where there's a new delivery system for the product that they had once had a monopoly on. So,
I mean, look, every time we're watching something on Netflix, we're not watching NBC, you know?
I hear you. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Louis Farrakhan is 82 years old today. Actor Jeffrey Donovan from Burn Notice is 47. And actor Jonathan Jackson, he is for real. Plays Avery Barkley on Nashville, 33 years old today. I thought Avery for sure was going to come back to the X's, didn't you? When he was there at the Bluebird and he saw the X's up on stage, I thought he was going to join the band again.
I agree.
And then when they took that record deal with Rain and James, I thought for sure he was going to regret not being a part of it. But he's got bigger fish to fry now with Juliet and her postpartum depression, right?
Yeah, at least he's there for the baby.
At least he's there. Take care of the baby. Juliet, back there. Hey, Kevin, your music got a little loud there.
It did?
Yeah.
That's weird.
By
weird.
The way, are you guys with me that you've had enough of Scarlett and her mush mouth, though?
No, I love Scarlett.
I love the way she sings, but what I'm saying is when she talks, everything's all slurry in the scene play.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. She's Australian.
I don't care for her boyfriend, Doctor, though. I don't like him at all.
He's going to be gone soon.
I hope
so. And the X's will now become the Togethers.
It's about time, because then we're all waiting for that.
How many years back does that go?
I didn't even give a website out.
All right, listen.
10 years ago? You can't thrill me.
Before you officially bring this one in for a landing here, Ralph, let's open up the phones again at 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to play a game to win your way into the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2050, now's the time to call. But I gotta warn you, it's backstage passes and tickets in the pit, so you have to be okay with that if you win the tickets, okay? 1-800-520-1067. We'll play next on K-Rock. Saturday at noon. Kevin and Bean, that's us. They're going to be on the air live from Irvine Meadows as we start off a great day. It's the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2015. We're giving away some tickets right now with backstage passes and tickets in the pit. Florence and the Machine and James Bay of Monsters and Man, Panic at the Disco, Vance Joy, Walk the Moon, Ex-Ambassadors, Cold War Kids, Death Cab for Cutie, so many great bands. And one in particular that a lot of fans who listen to this show, and that is Muse. And that's what we're looking for this time, right, Kevin?
That's right. We're going to give you two lines from a Muse song, and then you have to continue with the next two lines. You have to tell us the lyrics for the next two lines. And are we asking them to sing it?
Yes.
All right.
Let's sing it, just like you were listening to that song on the radio. This is a game that we like to call Muse It or Lose It.
We have tickets in the pits. All you have to do is sing a little bit. Yeah, you know Muse is the sh**. It's time to Muse It.
To ask him for another run at that.
Who's with me? I do know that as soon as I heard that he was going to be rhyming with Pitt, I knew what was coming. I knew what was coming. All right, so we're going to play the first two lines of a Muse song. You just have to sing the next two lines, and if you do it, then you are in the drawing to win your tickets and backstage passes for the Weenie Roast this weekend. Who's up first?
Let's start with Catherine in Grand Terrace. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Are you a Muse fan?
I am.
All right.
Wonderful.
You ready to Muse It or Lose It?
I hope so.
Pick it up where it stops.
Your skin feels warm to caress. I see magic in your eyes.
And then the next line goes,
I'm not going to get it. Oh, my gosh.
I'm so sad for you. But it's tough. It's really tough to remember the words to these songs.
Yeah, it is.
On the outside, you're ablaze and alive.
On the
This is one of those games that we would never be able to do.
No, I would be terrible. Allie, women are usually a lot better with lyrics than men are. How do you do with singing along on the radio?
awesome until I have to win tickets for it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the pressure's on for sure.
Let's go to Israel in Lakewood. Hi.
Hello.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Use it or lose it.
I can't get these memories out of my mind.
'Cause some kind of madness is taking control.
All right, we need to make a decision here because
it's like
some kind of madness has started to evolve,
and he had us taking control.
Who is in the background with you that is correcting you and saying that you did not win?
My girlfriend. No, she said I won.
Oh, did she? Does. She wants to go to the show. I'm willing to put Israel in the drawing. I think that was close-ish. What do you guys
think? Thank you.
I mean,
I like the I thought that was good.
Okay, so let's, but we're going to have to be,
We'll put you in the drawing, but you won't win. How about that, Israel? I kid. Oops, that's the wrong button. All right, who's next?
Let's go to Rachel in Kenya Country. Hi there.
Hi.
All right, are you ready? You ready for Muse It or Lose It?
I'm ready.
All right, we're going to play the song. When it stops, you pick it up.
No one's going to take me alive. The time has come to make things right.
Okay. I just have to say the next two lines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But sort of now.
Okay, sorry. You and I must fight to survive.
Why not? Being this is America.
I mean, since we let the last person in,
this game's tough, man. Game is tough, and she was pretty close.
You and I must fight for our rights.
And you and I must fight to survive. So that's that song. So now we have two people in the drawing.
All right, Israel and Rachel so far. Good biblical names here. Who's next?
All right, let's go to Sebastian in Lakewood.
Hey,
hi there.
Me. Okay. Hey, man.
Hi.
Hey, Sebastian. How you been doing playing along on the phone?
I haven't got a single one, but I hope I get it this time.
All right.
I hope so, too. Good luck, sir.
Here you go.
My life, you electrify my life.
Let's conspire to ignite all the souls that would die just to feel alive.
Yeah! Come on with the come on, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the one song I do right now.
Nailed it, Sebastian. Excellent work, sir. You are one step closer to being in the pit with us and backstage passes. Hold on, please.
All right. How would you pronounce this name?
This would be Zayla?
Let's go with Zayla. Zayla?
Hi, Zayla.
Hi there.
You got that silent H going for you on Zayla.
Yeah, kind
of. All right, good luck. We're playing Muse It or Lose It. Listen up. Sing the next two lines, please.
Love is our resistance. They'll keep us apart and they won't stop breaking us down.
Oh, my God. That's like a high pitch here, too.
And then it goes.
I think I just lost it.
Oh, it says, hold me. So that's.
Thank you, Sable. Why is that song so good, by the way?
They're all
Jesus.
Good.
All right, let's do one more. Let's make it Adam in Woodland Hills, our final contestant. He's on line six, please, to play Muse It or Lose It.
Hey, Adam.
Good. Hey, how's it going, guys?
How you been doing on hold?
Not great.
Okay.
Tough game.
All right, here you go. Muse It or Lose It.
Oh, God.
And then it goes,
you got me superficial.
I don't even think that's in the ballpark.
It's you're the queen of the superficial, and how long before you tell me the truth? I'm sorry.
I mean, but what are you going to do with that?
That's a great song, too, by the way. Thank you for playing. We appreciate it so much. All right. Israel, Rachel, Sebastian, all in the drawing. Allie McKay, only one will be in the pit with backstage passes Saturday. Who's it going to be?
The winner is the non-biblical Sebastian.
Sebastian. Sebastian, congratulations.
Yeah.
You will be in the pit. You will be backstage this Saturday. We'll see you then.
All right, man. See you then.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah, you know Muse is the sh**. Thanks for playing Muse It or Lose It.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:37.
And then you heard Girlpool.
What?
Doing
Girlpool.
Jane. And they just played.
No, it wasn't.
With,
What?
Waxahachie.
Waxahachie.
At the Roxy.
What? I can guarantee you that's not the name
Waxahachie.
Of that band.
You can call them Waxahachie or Waxahachie.
Nope.
We heard them doing The Dirt.
Waxacoochie.
You get the dirt and Waxahachie.
No.
Anyway, what can I say?
Not that
it
name.
It is spelled Waxahachie. Anyway, what can I say? You're listening to the Rodney
Say that name
Show,
again.
And I'll be back right after this.
Okay, Rodney. We're going to wait for you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Time for the final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday morning. Here's Ralph Garvey.
Waxahachie? Waxahachie?
Honestly, I don't know.
Wax on, wax off, a hachi.
Bitch.
Hey, come on. Rodney, I'm going to move.
Speaking of pedestrians.
We weren't talking
what?
About LA pedestrians.
LA City is actually going to fix the sidewalks.
All right, great.
Yes. Maybe next they'll do the potholes. So prepare for new sidewalks soon
okay.
being repaired
great.
In LA.
Good heads up.
Right. Are they new or they're being repaired? Which what is it?
I'm not sure.
Hey. You're right.
Wait a minute.
Okay. With you, Rodney? You just get, pull yourself together. I'm going to move on, Rodney. Weekend's box office. We take a look every Monday morning. Avengers Age of Ultron, $77.2 million this weekend. It's a lot of money. $312 million to be exact in just 2 weeks so far for Age of Ultron.
Tongue.
What?
Nope. Hot Pursuit. Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara in a film that is universally been panned by critics. Made $13.3 million. That was good enough to make it number two this weekend. Age of Adeline, Furious 7, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2 were the top five movies at the box office. Then Ex Machina, Home, Woman in Gold, Cinderella, and Unfriended were your top 10 movies at the box office. Aaron Paul is back working with one of the producers of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, leading to rumors that he may show up on that sequel.
Interesting.
He's just signed on to do a role in the movie, The Parts You Lose, about an 8-year-old hearing-impaired boy who encounters an injured and potentially dangerous fugitive in his small North Dakota town.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
It will be. I think he'd be great in that role.
How can he play an 8-year-old, though?
Joe Gilligan! I mean the fugitive! It's like my faux outrage?
It's good.
It's good. Thank
you. Obviously.
Dave Coulier has announced that he'll be joining the reboot of Full House. Fuller House, as it's being called.
They're getting close to everybody at this point now,
right? The only people they haven't heard from are Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. They're the only members who said they won't be back in some capacity. They had claimed that no one asked them, which set John Stamos off. He was like, we absolutely did ask you. Don't say that. Don't make me come over there, basically, is what he said.
Bitch.
No, come on, Rodney.
Don't you agree?
No, I don't. I think they seem like very nice young ladies, and they've grown up in the public eye, and they seem fairly well adjusted, considering.
You got to be 21, unfortunately.
No, you don't have to be 21. I don't know how old they are, but it doesn't matter how old they are.
I want to be John Goodman.
And John Goodman had nothing to do with Full House. That
was
Roseanne.
You're so gay.
Hey,
you are.
Hey,
so gay.
Rodney! Oh, when I see him at Winnie Roast, I'm going to pummel him.
Nah, are you serious?
Yes, I am serious.
Cranky.
I am, all right, I'm a little cranky, but I don't like the way you've been talking to me, quite frankly.
No way.
Yes, I think I have every right to be upset with you.
Touch me, I'm going to scream.
I'm not, well, if you don't pipe down, I'm going to touch you. I'm going to punch you right in the nose.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, right. I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it.
Oh, no. Poor guy.
They'll be saying that about you when I'm done with you.
But I'd like to see them play.
I don't even know what that means. and finally, American Idol is coming to a close. The 15th and final season will premiere in January 2016 on Fox.
Oh, no. How about the whores?
I don't know about them, but Paula Abdul has not said she will return, so. It'll be Jennifer Lopez, Harry Connick Jr., Keith Urban. They will be the judges for the final season. You know, when you look at this list of judges they've had over the years, Simon Cowell, Paula Abdul, Randy Jackson, none of them there, right?
Right.
Mariah Carey, Nicki Minaj, Steven Tyler. Cara DioGuardi, remember her?
Oh, that's right.
Ellen
that was
DeGeneres.
A bad fit.
Ellen DeGeneres was one of the judges.
She did it for a season. That's right.
Yeah. Started back in 2002. So for 14 years, we've been putting up with this
and
show.
And it was getting, like, Super Bowl ratings. It was huge.
It was the biggest show on television by far. You couldn't wrap your head around how big it was. And now, it's dead. Dead!
One of the articles I saw this morning, I don't remember what season they were talking about. It might have been season two, Ralph. They were saying how they had 36 million people for the finale that year. And now, what do you need to be a big hit show on network television now? 4 million?
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Crazy.
Crazy numbers.
But not sad to see it go. It's time.
It's a little past time.
I've been behind them for a long time.
We did talk about the stars who came off of that show, though, in the early seasons especially. Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, Jennifer Hudson. Although Jennifer Hudson, I don't think she even placed. I don't think she was even top two.
Pretty little face.
She does have a pretty face, Roddy. Jordan Sparks, who was one of my favorites. Catherine McPhee, of course. And Chris Daughtry, my boy Chris Daughtry. Loving Daughtry, yo!
No one has ever said that.
I love Daughtry. I love Chris. He's a good man.
Did you like his music at the time, or you just like him now because you're friends
with
him?
I did like that Coming Home song that he had. I liked that a lot. Mm-hmm. That was him, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Listener Mark, by the way, writes in this email, Ralph, I heard you talking about the former American Idol contestants who had some solid careers following the show. I was very pleased to hear you talk about my personal favorite, Daughtry, getting some love. Especially since their last album came out way in 2013. And now it's been so long that the anticipation for their next record is very high. In fact, you might say, I'm ready for some brand new Daughtry. I woke up in a new Bugatti. I'm ready for some brand new Daughtry. I'm ready for some brand new Daughtry. Yeah. I'm ready for some brand new Daughtry.
Sweet.
Sweet indeed. Sweet indeed.
He's a rocker.
He is. Yes. Yes, Rodney.
Ooh.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Minister Louis Farrakhan is 82 years old today.
I can't, still can't figure
Nothing
out what
Rodney?
He's... I'm sorry.
Nothing to say about that, Rodney? That's odd.
I still
say something there,
can't
Rodney.
Figure out what he's up to now, if he's retired or what, because I feel like we haven't heard the words Nation of Islam in like 10 years, and they were such a force for so long. It's really puzzling to me.
Call me fabulous.
That's better. That's better than what Bean said.
All right.
Thank you, Rodney. Jeffrey Donovan from Burn Notice is 47 today.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. He looks younger than that, doesn't he?
Black Hole.
Nope.
Why would you
He's
say that?
Burn Notice. It's a different project. And actor Jonathan Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Nope. We're not going to do that. We did that joke all day. It's stupid. No one got it.
A lot of people got it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Try it again, Ralph.
And it's one day. I think you can put up with it for one day.
Oh, my God. Really?
Until Joshua Jackson's birthday. But today is actor Jonathan Jackson's birthday.
Ooh.
Jonathan Jackson.
Ooh.
He is for real. Avery Barkley on Nashville, of course. He is 33 years old today. Avery's had a tough arc lately because, first of all, he was producing that album for the singer that Raina James brought in. Right. The victim of domestic abuse. She just abandoned that project and left, even though Phil were going to, she was going to get together with Luke Wheeler. And then, of course, his wife has the baby. Juliet Barnes has the baby. And now he's pretty much left alone, having to deal with the baby because Juliet apparently suffered from postpartum depression. Kevin, music is a little loud, buddy.
What?
Music is a little loud.
Yeah, we're trying to talk about
Nashville. We're trying to talk about
Nashville here. Trying hard to keep Nashville off the air for some reason.
I'm sorry. I apologize. That's on me.
Is it?
Really?
I'll take responsibility for that one. Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning we have an all-new Kevin DeBean show. Mary McNamara from the LA Times. We'll be talking about some new TV shows that might be coming your way.
Should we talk about Nashville?
I hope not.
Oh.
Mark Maron, comedian, podcaster, TV show.
He is for real.
He will be in studio. We've got your tickets. We've got your tickets for Las Vegas as well tomorrow, and tickets in the pit and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta.